Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
See, every single thing that we are concerned about, every single thing when you turn on the TV tomorrow morning that they will talk about, will all be related to racism, white supremacy as a system. Okay, Donald Trump. I say, meet your next president. See, all kind of people from the time he started talking, oh, he's crazy, oh, he's this, oh, he won't, all the American people won't accept some. Donald Trump has pulled the hood off of, the sheet off of, the cover off of the system of racism, white supremacy. See, he pulled it off, and he's talking with more clarity than anybody else, who all the other candidates quietly are thinking about racism, but they're not talking overtly about it. But Donald Trump is talking. So like I said, Donald Trump's Trump card is the race card in the system of racism, white supremacy. The New York Times editorial today, the Trump effect. See, this is what I'm doing with my money, buying newspapers like Dick Gregory. The Trump effect and how it spreads. It says we are on the brink, under Trump, on the brink of fascism. New York Times, all the news that's fit to print, editorial 12/10/2015. I say fascism is end-stage white supremacy. See, just like in Nazi Germany. Fascism, system of racism, white supremacy, determined to survive.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Wednesday, November 9th, 2016, so I have been told. One thing that I am pleased about, I think there are a considerable number of Cows listeners who can say truthfully that the first time that they heard President-elect was here on the context of white supremacy. I have been making sure over the last 12 hours for people who missed, we were broadcasting. Technically, this is our second broadcast of the day. We were on last night as the results were coming in, as it was finalized that Trump had won the election. We were on. Dr. Niana Rasayan was on with us, kind of discussing the immediate results and impact of an election that many people were stunned about. But one of the things we emphasized, Dr. Frances Cresswell seemed making that prediction over a year ago. That was from her final Cresswell Institute in December of 2015, where she confidently forecast what took place yesterday evening based on her understanding of racism, white supremacy. Just in my view, I think it is an illustration of black self-respect. And I think it's important, just number one, recognizing the brilliance of Dr. Welsing, recognizing her understanding of racism, white supremacy in the area of politics in general, but certainly in the area of politics, and for predicting an election that many people were absolutely stunned, according to their own reports and what have you, about what took place and the fact that Donald Trump actually won. And I think it should be emphasized that she made that prediction before the primaries even started. Stunning. The brilliance of Dr. Frances Cresswell-Zing. But our guest for today's broadcast, one of our favorite guests, want to kind of encourage listeners to dial in if you have your own thoughts or if you have questions or ideas that you want to dial in about what has taken place, how people are explaining what has taken place. I certainly think that this will be one of the most talked about, storied presidential, U.S. presidential elections for some time. So it'll be great to use this as an opportunity to study all aspects of racism, white supremacy, how they are related to what took place, and then in a codified manner, what we should be doing moving forward that would be in our best interest as victims of racism, non-white people. Our guest for the program, she's been here many times. Folks, many of our listeners are not only familiar with, but are huge fans of her written material. You can go to her blog, racismws.com, racismws.com. The website has lots of current information. She has recent blog posts about the current election. I think she's even taken some chiding for critiquing Hillary Clinton. I think some people even blamed her and her meddling blog work for why Hillary Clinton came up a little short. But she has great blog work in addition to some outstanding counter-racist material. Trojan Horse, Death of a Dark Nation, Black Love is a Revolutionary Act, The Interracial Con Game, and The Beauty Con Game. They have hard copy books, ebook formats. Again, if you are frustrated about the election and you have nervous energy that you're looking to use, write a review. That's one of the easy things that you can do to contribute to counter racism. When you have authors, co-authors like Pam, who put out great material, write a review. If you've read one of the books, if you bought one of the books, even if you've heard her throughout the years on the program discussing some of her different publications, write a review. She's talked about that many times, that it is very helpful as an author, getting those reviews, that people do read them and they do influence people going ahead and buying books and or reading books to go ahead and help write those reviews. It doesn't take a lot of time. You can put, I think she said before, 3 sentences. That's it. You could be all done. 3 sentences. Write a review for one of those books. And I think she would even say, even if it's not one of her books, if it's a black author out there that you appreciate, write a review and help, you know, get some more readers for that author. Always a pleasure to have her on the program. Looking forward to hearing her thoughts on this topic. Joining us live once again, our guest, Pam. Pam, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Gus.
Grand. So happy to have you with us. Sure, we have some first-time listeners for anyone who is hearing. This is their debut experience for Pam. Anything that you think they should know about who you are, the work that you do?
Well, thanks to Dr. Welsing, Mr. Fuller, and countless other people, including yourself, I've been trying to understand the system of white supremacy and to help others through my understanding of white supremacy so that we can eliminate the system. I wrote the books with the idea, you know, of sharing my thoughts and views on white supremacy. And the whole goal of me writing the books and appearing on this show is to try to help each other understand that there's a system, and the system is going to require us to do what is necessary to dismantle it. It's not going to be dismantled through a vote. It's not going to be dismantled by any of the so-called ways that we've been taught. You know, we're not going to be able to eliminate it without understanding it. So that was really my goal in writing the books and appearing on this program, is to help myself and help others find ways to eliminate the system. But that's the only thing I would really share with people.
RacismWS.com. RacismWS.com. The books are linked. They are available at Amazon.com. If you're on RacismWS.com, you'll see information about all of the previous written material. You can check out the blog as well, and I'm sure you'll see her email if you have any questions, clarification about any of the material on the site or any of the topics that we discussed this evening. Just to start with, as I said, I think it's important, and not in a, you know, I just want to brag and boast because I said this was going to happen and it happened and, you know, look how cool I am or look how cool Dr. Welsing is. I just think it's important because so many times, and not just with Dr. Welsing, with yourself included, many other black people who just try to use whatever skill, intelligence we have been given by the creator to try to solve problems, particularly if we're trying to do something to help black people and fight against racism. Our intelligence is criticized, minimized. You know, we're told that we just don't quite measure up, or we're ignorant, or we don't know what's going on. We have such puny, defective Negro brains. I think it's so important to just recognize, number one, that Dr. Welsing predicted this was going to happen a year in advance for an election that a lot of people had a very difficult time grasping and getting a handle on in terms of figuring out what was going to actually take place. And then the foundation of why she was able to make such a startling prediction so far in advance was because of her understanding of racism, white supremacy, the root of it being white genetic annihilation. Just can you speak to Dr. Welsing's accurate prediction?
You know what? I find it amazing that she said that. She's the only person I know that said that. I myself didn't think Trump was going to get in. I had forgotten, or maybe I hadn't heard the clip of Dr. Welsing saying that, you know, when I, until recently, when somebody shared the link on my blog, and then you mentioned it today. I just find it incredible that she, long before all this politicking and everything began, that she would have made that statement. But that just goes to show you what a treasure she was. And I have other views as far as what happened with Trump, but I just find it remarkable that she said it so long ago, because, like I said, I don't know anybody who really, honestly, truly, in my opinion, thought Trump would win. So I'm still digesting that, because for whatever reason, I either don't remember her saying it, or I just recently heard about her saying it. So I'm still trying to digest that. How was she so certain of it? And she turned out to be right. That's incredible.
I think a lot of people, because she passed away in January of this year, mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. the sound clip that we played, I think she had made it, she had said that, her assessment that Donald Trump was going to be the next president. She had said that other times, but the sound clip that we played that from was from her final Cress Welsing Institute at Howard University in December of 2015. So I think for a lot of people, it was long enough ago that they had forgotten it if they heard it to begin with. I mean, it's a year. A lot of people don't remember things that happened 2 months ago, much less something that was said a year ago about this wacky election. But I think her brilliance. And I mean, she was someone who paid attention to the news relentlessly. She lived in the D.C. area. She was constantly checking the news and reading newspapers and what have you, and being abreast of what was happening in the world. But I think just her understanding of white supremacy and then application in terms of what we should expect to happen, just unparalleled in my opinion. You said that you were surprised, even still, that this took place. Why were you surprised? What did you not expect?
Well, you know what? It was, my initial view was it seemed there was so much bias for Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton being a major party candidate, whereas Donald Trump seemed to be rejected by his own party. And so I just, my belief system was that the election was already rigged, that they had already picked the president. I never had any confidence whatsoever in the vote of the people actually determining the election. So that's why I thought that the powers that be wanted Hillary Clinton, because it seemed to me that she was above the law, and, you know, there was so much publicity, I mean, so much media support for her. A guy named Abagon, he does a blog on WordPress, and he did a pretty interesting blog about all the different media outlets that were pro-Clinton. So that's why I thought she was going to get it, regardless of what the people voted for, regardless of what Donald Trump did or didn't do. I just didn't think he was going to, I didn't think he was going to win, because I just didn't think the people would determine it. And I'm still not sure what happened. Because, quite honestly, I thought the whole thing was a dog and pony show from the beginning. I thought it was all of it was staged. I thought Donald Trump was staged. I thought Hillary Clinton was staged. They were playing their roles. And I just assumed that he was going to play the role of loser, she was going to play the role of winner, and it was going to just be this business as usual. So I did not expect him to win. I thought she was the favored candidate of the people in power.
Interesting. Hillary Clinton did win your state of Illinois. I guess number one, did you vote in any of the local initiatives or for president or anything?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Because we had different initiatives on there. The last times that I voted third party. You know, so but you know, I have no enthusiasm for the process. I just don't. Most of the time, the ballots are full of people you don't even know who they are, full of judges who are running unopposed. You know, candidates, you know, it's just the same old song and dance. But they had an initiative on there about something about using the tax the revenues to improve the roads. That was the main thing that drew me in, was the local referendums. But even still, I was voting in ignorance, because they have these special interest groups that create these bills, and I really don't know who these special interest groups are. This particular initiative was by the people that own the construction companies to do the roads. So I just find it's very difficult not to vote in ignorance. So for me personally, the vote, and I don't knock anybody vote, you know, that's your own individual decision. You know, I never told anybody don't vote. I simply said that I don't think voting is a solution for our problems. And I still feel that way, regardless of whether Hillary had won or lost, it makes no difference to me. It's not going to solve a single problem that we have.
Fascinating. What has been the response? And I know it's early. It hasn't even been 24 hours since the results came in or what have you. The black people that you have been around in your limited time, for people who haven't heard you over the years, Pam is in the Illinois, Chicago, Illinois area. Hillary Clinton did win the state of Illinois, even though she did not win the big prize. What has been your observations, at least immediate, since everything went down, from black people? Have they been upset about the election, surprised, stunned, mad that Clinton didn't win? What have you seen?
I've seen more stunned, kind of like almost like a quiet kind of resignation. Some people are, they didn't talk to me. I just heard comments that other people made to other people. And somebody was talking about, there goes our link cards. And I mean, I work with people who make good income, so they're not on link cards. So, but it's just the overall, I think, reaction that we've been programmed to have whenever a Democrat loses. But I would say probably a lot of it quiet, not a whole lot of hoopla, not a lot of people doing a lot of hollering and screaming and stuff. Pretty much kind of like a quiet resignation, kind of like stunned, like, okay, what's next? And I feel the same way, like, okay, what's next? What's going to happen now? But I didn't have any confidence that Hillary was going to make my life better or anybody else's life better. So for me, I'm not in a state of dismay. I'm more of a state of puzzlement. Like, you know, I have no idea what's coming, who Trump is, who he represents, whether this whole thing was staged from beginning to end, whether Hillary was supposed to lose from the very beginning. I have not a clue. But I will tell you this, and I say this over and over again, whatever problems black people have in the system of white supremacy, it is not going to be solved by going to the polls and pushing the button. So if anything, if this gets us off the Democratic plantation and makes us realize we've got to come up with our own solutions, then perhaps this is a good thing. Because I've heard people say, well, I did read a comment by somebody who said, okay, now it's time for us to come up with other solutions. So there can be good in all things. If anything, if this makes people decide to look elsewhere for solutions, then maybe some good will come out of it.
Context of white supremacy. The blog address again, racismws.com. Visit, pick up a book, check out some of the posts, racismws.com. I certainly hope, agree, I don't think the ballot is going to solve our problems with racism, white supremacy, which is the exact same thing I said in 2008 when it was President Obama, and the same thing I said 2012 when he was up for re-election, even if Pam was on the ballot. I don't think voting for her is going to solve our problems. Might help in a few spots, but I don't think it's going to solve our problem. Mm-hmm. What would your response be to people who say, because I'm sure there's going to be a good chunk of this going around for the next month or so. What would be your response to people who say, see, it's people like you, Pam, who took that attitude and you wrote all those nasty, surly, no good posts about Hillary Clinton over the last month or so on your no good blog, and discouraging other black people, discouraging other non-white people from going out and supporting Hillary Clinton, is people like you that made it possible for Donald Trump to get in the White House, because you didn't go and vote for Miss Clinton, and or you didn't vote at all, or you wasted your vote and voted for a third party candidate, or wrote your own name in, or voted for President Obama again, or just did something to be spiteful and simple minded. What would your response to those folks be?
You know, I just find it interesting that people would defend one white supremacist over another. I mean, in my view, Hillary Clinton is as much a white supremacist as Donald Trump. And I find it questionable that people would put their faith in this white female white supremacist, and it just seems to be a contradiction that you would choose white supremacists over another. One white supremacist is going to be a major problem. The other white supremacist is going to be a major solution. So I just don't understand. I don't get the logic. I just don't personally get the logic. I can't understand why particularly a white supremacist who has been instrumental in the deaths of thousands, tens, possibly hundreds of thousands of non-white people, a white supremacist who joked and laughed about the murder and assassination of Gaddafi. Do people know that they killed him? Before they killed him, they tortured him? And she made a statement that, "We came, we saw, he died." And I'm trying to see, what is the defense of this white supremacist over another white supremacist? I don't understand the logic. And that would be my response, is you're not defending a non-white supremacist person over Donald Trump. You're defending a white supremacist over this white supremacist. So I'm not offended. I really have a thick skin. I mean, yeah, I get irritated, but I really have a thick skin. I'd made my decision. I can sleep at night with my decision. I can live with my decision. I have no faith whatsoever that a vote for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to solve a single problem I or any other black person has. So people have the right to their opinion. Give me the same courtesy of having the right to my opinion.
No, you do not expect any courtesy in the system of white supremacy. I know you're talking crazy now. What do you think the rise of Donald J. Trump, what do you think that that will signal for how the business operations, the day-to-day business operations of white supremacy at a local and national level when he takes the White House?
I don't really know. I just think it's going to be interesting. I think there may come a time when people regret voting for him, not just black people. I don't really know who he is. He's a wild card as far as I'm concerned. Certainly he's going to practice white supremacy, but in what manner, I really don't know.
Fascinating. As I said, folks, definitely chime in. I want to make this open so people can ask questions. I see people already have hands up, so we will get to the phone lines promptly. Some of the quick, in my view, what I think should be major talking points to some degree, some of these have been major talking points. One of them I think should be like front and center. I want to be very clear. I know we have people that are newer listeners who've been listening for maybe a couple months or 5 months. The context of white supremacy has been broadcasting for nearly 8 years. So we have done approximately 1,500 programs. We have a lot of content available. Most of it is available online, even though it is a bit disjointed because of racists kicking us off the air so many times. But I've said repeatedly over the years that, you know, my conceptualization of the system of white supremacy, white women are not, you know, being dragged by the hair as unwilling accomplices in the business operation of white terrorism. They are completely dedicated and in some views might actually be the driving force of what is taking place with this. The first teacher, the one who is actually producing the business of being a mother, producing racist man, racist woman, is racist woman. She is the first teacher, in my view. What is she teaching? The primary lesson for an individual classified as white would have to be the maintenance, the practice of white supremacy. And white women, I heard so much talk in this election about Donald Trump and him groping females, and he's a misogynist, and he's a bigot, and he's a sexist, and all of these lewd comments that he's made, fat shaming females, and it just went on and on and on. And we're gonna have the first female president, and you know, we are gonna do it right on white women. We had that nigra, and now we're gonna have the first female president. And white women, they voted. More white women voted for Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton. That's according to multiple reports. More white women voted for Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton. That should be like talking point number one, in my opinion. This is a quick audio clip to kind of emphasize some of the demographics of the vote, and then we'll get Pam's response. But this is from the Wall Street Journal. They're talking about the demographics, and they will emphasize the significance of white women. This is the context of white supremacy.
America is a country of deep electoral divides, and it's also more profoundly divided along stark demographic lines. On one side, middle-class white Americans who feel like their government no longer works for them, who've elected to give Donald Trump the chance to drain the swamp. You can subdivide Trump versus Clinton supporters by age. Trump carried the day with voters age 45 to 64 by 7 percentage points. They're a larger group than millennials. Those age 18 to 29 years old favored Hillary Clinton by 20 percentage points. Clinton also enjoyed the overwhelming support of non-white voters, 73% to Trump's 20%. But even that margin couldn't neutralize the strength of white voters who chose Trump 55% to 38%. Another sharp divide? Religion. Americans who attend church once a week or more mostly took Trump's side. People who never go to church voted overwhelmingly for Clinton. But perhaps the deepest divide, at least in this election, is between rural voters and the populations of America's cities. Two-thirds of people who live in cities favored Clinton. Trump won small city and rural voters by around an equal amount.
There's lots of ways to slice and dice the American electorate. So with all this division in the country, what factor, what demographic slice mattered most to Trump's triumph over Clinton? It may be impossible to say, but here's one theory. The first female presidential candidate in the history of the U.S. failed to appeal to enough middle-class white women.
This chart shows who voted as divided by race and sex. White women are the largest slice. Their numbers are about the same as in 2012. In that election, Mitt Romney won 56% of white women. This year, again, the Republican won, Trump beating Clinton by 8 percentage points. On top of that, Donald Trump won the white male vote this year, too, by a whopping 29 percentage points. Black voters and Latino voters of both sexes overwhelmingly chose Clinton. All combined, they helped counterbalance the white male vote. And that put white women in the driver's seat to determine the course of the election. And if you divide this group out to those white women with a four-year college degree and those who don't have one, you see a socioeconomic tsunami. More highly educated white women chose Clinton 51% to Trump's 43%. But white women without a college degree went to Trump, 59% to Clinton's 35%. They helped hand him the presidency.
Context of white supremacy. Again, the clip at the end, the most important portion, that white women, they were in the driver's seat. They had the largest demographic group in terms of if you break down chunks of voters in terms of black males or black females or white men or quote-unquote Latina males, if you go down, white women, they had the largest chunk at, I believe, about 36%, and approximately 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, in spite of everything that you heard. What are your thoughts on that, Pam?
I'm not surprised by that. And it kind of reinforces in my mind, and I could be incorrect, but it reinforces in my mind that the black vote does not determine presidential elections. And that's why I think there's a lot of emphasis, too much emphasis on how black people vote. You know, somebody might say, well, if all the black people voted, it would have swayed the election. I'm not so sure about that. I don't believe we have the numbers. We don't even seem to have the numbers enough to elect a governor, let alone a president. But that's just my thoughts on it. As far as white women voting, I totally agree with you when they are not just the co-partner of the white male in the system of white supremacy. They are often the instigator of racism, white supremacy. They are very much involved in racism, white supremacy, and maintaining the system. And that's why they're so effective against non-white people. Because now white people underestimate their role in the scheme of things. But I'm not really surprised that you know, you could easily say their racial self-interest overcame their gender self-interest. I do believe, though, however, all that aside, is that I believe Trump's victory was fueled in part by a lot of anti-Clinton sentiment and a lot of sentiment against mainstream politicians, professional politicians. But at the end of the day, white people will always vote their racial self-interest, even when it goes against their economic self-interest. So I'm not really surprised that that the majority, or at least a small majority, voted for Trump. That's probably the only, one of the few things that doesn't surprise me about the election.
How would you explain then if someone said, well, wait a minute now, Pam, you said that white people always vote their racial self-interest in 2008 and in 2012, you had a sizable, not the majority, but a sizable portion of whites who voted for President Obama. How was that in their racial self-interest?
Well, you know, some people have a different opinion about that whole election. I believe the votes are rigged. I believe that the people that win because they're supposed to win. I'm not sure if the popular vote chose Obama or not. I'm not really confident that the vote are authentic in terms of this is what the people actually voted for, and these numbers are accurate. You've got these electronic voting machines. It's very easy to steal votes, extremely easy. And so I'm not totally convinced that that Obama won either election. As far as whether white women favored him and they put their self-interest to the side, I find that just hard to believe. I don't really know what the white people that supported Obama, I really don't know who they are. I don't know what their motivation was. But as from my experience, white people always vote their racial self-interest. And where, as far as in voting for Obama, I can't explain that because I'm not really sure who and how many voted for him. That I cannot explain.
That'll be one we can ponder on, perhaps come back to you. Always a good exercise to ponder on. I mentioned this yesterday. I want to mention it to you and see if it's logical, and I may have done a poor job. And I guess we should add for context now, this was around midnight, maybe later, because we were watching the election, and it was kind of a late evening thing, very much in contrast to the last three elections or so. It was kind of reminiscent of 2000 a little bit when it was an all-night kind of a thing, even though I think they called it at about 2:30 a.m. Eastern time. We were talking last night with Dr. Rasayan, and I was saying that during the 2012 presidential election, Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., he was saying that to many individuals who classify themselves as white, they see President Obama in the White House and are disgusted. Like, I cannot believe, you know, this nigger and his nigger children and nigger wife, you know, have taken up residency here for almost a decade. This is an outrage. It's not even the White House is not even fit for a white woman or a white man anymore. You know, it's been defiled. The whole thing needs to be defumigated, torn down, you know, build a new one. You know, you think I'm going to sleep in the same bed as this, you know, this nigger family did for the last 10? I mean, come on. He said that's the view that, you know, a lot of white people have. And I said, at least in a symbolic sense, if we're saying that the White House, this office has been defiled, why not elect someone who is widely thought of as being incompetent, a buffoon, not even qualified for the office? Why not elect this person as president if the office is no longer worthy of a white man because this nigger has defiled it? Does that make logical sense?
You know, that's interesting. Yeah, I can believe that. Listen, I've even seen that attitude when black people are trying to sell their homes. A lot of times the real estate agents will have to disguise the fact that the home was previously owned by a black person. But once a lot of white people find out the home was owned by a black person, they lived there, their pictures were there, their beds were there, they don't want anything to do with the house. So I can easily believe that that sentiment is correct when it comes to the White House. And I'm assuming you mean, why not just elect Donald Trump or anybody because the house is already defiled? I would not be surprised if that is an accurate depiction of how many white people feel. I would not be surprised by that at all.
My additional way of processing this is, if the White House has been defiled, and maybe on a national level in terms of white supremacy, this area of the world, the quote-unquote United States, has been defiled, then what you would do you would put niggers on the currency. Harriet Tubman is now going to be on the $20 bill, is it, I think? That's coming out. You would do things like that. I even think that could be a counter-racist experiment when all that comes out. And she replaces Andrew Jackson to see if the value of the dollar fluctuates. Does it go up or down once they put her on the currency? That can just be something to pay attention to. But if this area of the world is being devalued, then you put someone, as I said, who by many accounts, part of why people thought it was so impossible that this could happen, many people regard this being just flat out incompetent, a buffoon. This person has no, I think they said yesterday, this is the first time they've had someone who has no military experience, no political experience, who is getting this, like, this is unprecedented what is taking place? And I think that that could also be a symbol of devaluing a particular area in the system of white supremacy, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Yeah.
Something to ponder on. Before I get to the callers, do you, I asked this question yesterday as well, or earlier today. Do you think it's possible that it could have hurt Secretary Clinton? She did a lot of showcasing of black people. She had the Mothers of the Movement at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, a lot of the black moms who lost a child to some form of violence, white supremacy violence. She had LeBron James and Jay-Z and all these different people come out and talk for her, Kerry Washington, support her and do concerts and fundraisers and vote for her and, you know, yeah, campaign. She's going to do it. HRC, right. We got to keep Donald Trump out. Do you think it could have hurt her, her being seen and in close proximity, even the Obamas going out and campaigning so hard for her? Do you think that could have hurt her with many whites being seen in association with so many Negroes?
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely. And quite frankly, I believe that that pandering, because I call it pandering to the black vote, because once the election is over, you're history. She's nowhere to be seen. So I think it could have possibly, oh yeah, absolutely could have hurt her with black, white voters, but I think it could also hurt her with some black voters, because I was offended by this idea that Jay-Z and Beyonce are going to influence the way that I vote. Now, I know they were probably aimed at younger people, but yeah, absolutely. I think, and that's what I wonder if this whole thing was by design. I mean, you know, you just have to really wonder. But, yeah, absolutely, it would hurt her with seeing her just constantly going around pandering to the black vote, trying to get the black vote. You know, yeah, it definitely could have hurt her with whites.
Context of white supremacy. Again, visit Pam's website, racismws.com, if you have questions. And we'll do observations as well. I said this yesterday evening when we did the program. If you went to vote and anything important, significant, noteworthy happened, feel free to share. If you did not vote and you were harassed or people blamed you for Donald Trump being victorious, feel free to call in and share that as well. The number is 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. The number again is 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. My apologies. I do have to ask one more question. There were many other initiatives on the ballot yesterday. One of them that I had an eye on, cannabis legalization. It was in 5 states. It was on the ballot for recreational legalization of cannabis. It passed in 4 of the 5. That was the one thing I got wrong. It did not pass in Arizona. I thought it was going to pass in all 5 states, and it did not. Arizona was the only state it did not pass. But cannabis, recreational use of cannabis is now legal in California, Massachusetts, Maine, and Nevada, in addition to the 4 states and Washington, D.C., where it was already recreational use was already legal. Do you have thoughts on the growing trend of cannabis being something that is legal nationally, particularly with California? That is a massive decision in being recreational use being legal there now.
Well, you know, I used to think it was a relatively harmless type of activity. You know, I always thought that laws were foolish. You know, if people wanted to smoke marijuana, you know, it was no skin off of my nose. But then Dr. Wellesley said something a couple years ago, maybe three, 4 years ago, and she was talking about, and she put a whole different spin on it, that this whole thing of having people I forget exactly how she put it, but not being fully in control of their faculties. And she really put a spin on it that got me to thinking that maybe this push for legalization of marijuana wasn't harmless, that maybe there was some method to that madness of getting people to be in an altered state of mind and encouraging that. And so that started to make sense to me, and it made marijuana, or the legalization at least, seem less benign than I thought it was. So I'm kind of torn in that I don't believe people should go to jail, for being in possession of marijuana. But I do question anything that the system wants to legalize and encourage people to do. So I just found that was really interesting. She put a whole other spin on it that I had never considered. So that particular opinion that she had really colored my suspicion of this whole marijuana legalization thing. I don't know if you remember that, when she was talking about that.
In fact, I think I have it queued up right now. I think I'm going to play it again because I think she would appreciate that. And this is one of my favorite segments that Dr. Welsing shared. But keep this in mind with all of the dialogue. And I think Dr. Welsing, I don't want to speak for her. She did a great job. She was here 31 times. But I think Dr. Welsing would also say that she would not, want to see anybody, any black people in particular, going to jail for cannabis. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see any black people going to jail for right. cannabis, but I don't think legalizing cannabis is going to do anything to solve our problems with regards to racism. And I don't even believe the claims that it's going to make a small dent by keeping at least a small number of black people out of prison or whatever other claims they've made. I don't even believe those. And again, keep in mind, Charlotte Green, cannabis is legal in Alaska. She is facing over 50 years in prison for her cannabis dispensary. Cannabis is legal in Alaska. Anywho, but this is Dr. Francis Kress-Welsing on cannabis.
And everybody should master Neely Fuller's, behavior code. Stop name calling, stop gossiping, stop squabbling, stop cursing. Stop being discourteous, stop being disrespectful to one another. Stop stealing from one another, stop robbing one another, stop fighting one another, and stop killing one another. And the ones that I add to it, stop using and selling drugs to one another. See, we're getting ready to be put in a real trap with this legalization of marijuana. So everybody, every black person can be unemployed and then they can sit in their corner and get high on marijuana with whatever they decide to put in it. And people won't be asking for jobs and being determined that they're going to get jobs and going to get an education. No, everybody can start getting high on marijuana because somebody said it's medicinal and it's legal.
What about?
So we better beware.
What about the people who say the legalization of marijuana is fighting against racism because you have so many black people who are unjustly incarcerated as a result of racist enforcement of these drug laws? So this would be a good thing and it would keep black people out of greater confinement.
No, we can do it by stop using and selling drugs to one another. See, if I'm not using drugs, then I can't be incarcerated for drugs. And I see so many males, young males in my practice who have become psychotic, almost never to return to normal from marijuana use because you don't know what's in it. You don't know how it's been genetically altered. Again, everything has to be put in the context of a power dynamic system of racism and white supremacy. That's one thing the president spoke of, looking at behavior and context. Now, whether he actually meant context, as I say it, I say the context is a system of racism and white supremacy. That's the only way we're going to understand any aspect of our behavior. the power context in which the behavior occurs.
Mm. Just for our listeners, because I think that's real important, I had only heard a few people who were saying, who had suspicion about this sudden push to legalize marijuana and saying, I don't think that this is being done with the best intentions for black people. Are you saying that you think that this could be something to further erode black people's will and ability to replace white supremacy with justice? So we're just all
absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. See, they drug test to deny you employment. And so now I'm going to tell you, you can get all the marijuana you want. See, we have to say, well, this is interesting. They're legalizing marijuana use, and they're closing schools. They're legalizing marijuana use, but they are making it difficult for black people to vote. They're legalizing marijuana, but they are tightening up on affirmative action. They're legalizing marijuana, but they're making it more difficult to prove discrimination in employment. So again, see, understanding system, and this is how come our brains push black people to say, hey, what's happening? That's not an idle question. The brain is saying, you don't really understand what's going on. Keep asking, what's happening? What's happening? Maybe somebody will be able to tell you.
They're legalizing marijuana. They elect Donald Trump president. Now we will go to folks who have questions. The Thomas in New York, who I think was one of our listeners. That was one I did feel, you know, for like 5 seconds. We're still on the plantation, nothing to brag about. But for like 5 seconds, amidst all of these whites on television acknowledging that they have no idea how this happened and they're stunned and this is historic and unprecedented night in U.S. presidential election history, for on this broadcast for us to have been playing that segment and referencing Dr. Welsing's prediction that Trump would win for a year, myself predicting that Trump would win back in April, and at Thomas in New York, one of our first callers, who has been also predicting boldly that Donald Trump would win and that it would not be very close when he won. I did feel, because I even heard from some listeners who said that they had a better grasp or that they were better prepared for what happened last night because they listened to this program. For like 5 seconds, I did feel, hey, might be doing something, at least stumbling in the correct direction and doing something constructive, but back to work. Lots to do, back to work, lots of problems. Thomas in New York, if you have questions for Pam, feel free.
Good evening, Gus, man. I wish I knew you were on last night because I certainly would have called it. You know, I was in tune the whole night. I was just waiting for it to happen. I say he's going to get 75%. He got 73% of the white vote. Astonishing. And I'm in New York, and in Seattle right now, they're protesting. I mean, in New York, it's thousands of people protesting. And I'm like, but he only got in because of the white people. What are they walking around for?
Whites in Seattle are good for a protest, man. They will protest at the drop of a pancake.
Yeah, they're preferring. It's not called riots. I mean, gosh, it looks like riots to me. Hey, Pam, I'm sorry about the Donna Brazile thing, you know, but I can't stand them showcase people on TV, so I was glad to see her go.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to I just wanted to know how you felt about, you kind of answered the question. I'll just say one more thing before I get off. It's good hearing from you, Pam, of course. Today I'm at work and I'm on the elevator and this lady from a floor I don't even work on, white lady, she gets on, and I say, she looks at me and say hi, and I say hi, and she says, oh my gosh, you know, so she goes to give me a hug, so I back up, I say, oh, she says, oh, you're not upset that Trump won? And I said, no, and then my floor went ding, and I got off the elevator. I just found that to be very interesting, because white people all day have been playing like they're the victim in all this. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this happened. I'm like, y'all voted for it. What are you talking about? But I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you said that, because there was I had a similar situation on the elevator this morning when I was going to work, and I think it was a white guy who said, well, somebody said, oh, it's remarkable that he won, and this white man kind of looked like, disgusted, like, it had nothing to do with me. And so I didn't really even look at it as what it could have meant until you guys started talking about white people denying that they voted for him. And I wonder what his reaction would have been if the elevator had been full of white people. You know, would he have made that face and acted like, oh, it's disgusting, you know, Donald Trump is the president. You know, so I never really gave it much thought until you guys started talking about all the denial. And I'm sure that there are white people who think that black people are upset. As a matter of fact, there are black people that are upset, though. A friend of mine who rides public transportation said a black guy was walking through the subway car telling white people, this is all your fault. So there are black people who are upset. I'm just not one of them. But I didn't really have it fixed in my mind like you guys did that he was going to win. So that's really amazing that you guys were so certain. I mean, I just find that really, really interesting that you were so certain that he was going to win. So that's interesting by itself.
When he said the Mexicans was going to come and rape the women, and we had just finished Ben Tillman's book, it was like, it was just like perfect timing, like, oh, this is the same thing that Ben Tillman said about white people, and he went on to win big time. I had wanted to say one thing to Gus. You remember the guest that I had asked you to call in, and he hung up on us?
The professor, right.
The professor. So he's leading the march in New York today against Trump. So my wife saw him outside of the school. And he says hi to her, but he doesn't know that she's the person that told her to come on the show. And she says, he asks her, he says, you going to come march with a brother?
What a brother, come
on. And I thought, man, here she says, she started laughing because we already know about him. But I'll mute my line. See?
Right on. Appreciate that, Thomas. That is hilarious. You can go back in the archives and hear the professor he's referencing. I'll give you his name in 1 second. That was 30 seconds of folly. The caller at 3737. Did you have a question for Pam? Last four digits, 3737. Did you have a question? Not hearing you. I don't know if you hit your mute button or if you're just listening, but we're not hearing you, and we don't really have time for dallying today, so I'm going to just get to the next caller. Caller at 4507. 4507. Did you have a question for Pam? Last four digits, 4507. People might be stunned, they're having difficulty functioning or being coherent in the aftershock of Trump's triumph. Not hearing you, so I'm going to go to the next caller, 544507, or the caller at 3737, last four digits. Do you all just listening? Going to the next caller. Caller at 0325, did you have a question or are you just listening?
Yes, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, Gus, and good evening, Pam. I got two things here real quick. The first thing is during Hillary Clinton's, concession speech or whatever, she mentioned fairness a couple times, one by rule of law, but she said fairness. And then she said, we owe Trump to be open-minded and to give him a chance to lead. That was the first thing. And then the second thing was I was listening to Roland Martin's show, and I think it was about two or three black females called in, and they were just stunned. And they were talking about how they were giving their sons, their sons were like, you know, what do I do, you know, now that Trump is, and they were just stunned. And I want Pam to speak on how, or we'll give her opinion on, you know, how, you know, if she thinks this is a good thing to kind of wake some of our people up, because it seemed as if these black females were, it seemed like they were, like they believed in the system. And I guess they believed that, you know, racism wasn't really that big of a problem anymore. But then they were just stunned, and they were like, I can only come to the conclusion about that this is just racism, and it's just, you know. And then the other woman, she was like, I got to rethink this. I have to rethink everything. And they were just stunned.
Get to the question. I want to try and make sure we.
Well, no. That's my question. My question is, I wanted to know if she thinks that they might help to wake black people up. And then, of course, commenting on the Hillary Clinton concession speech.
Got
thanks.
It.
Okay. Will it wake some people up? Not if they think that things would have been great if Hillary had got in. See, this is the problem for me is if you feel that Donald Trump is an accelerated version of white supremacy, what do you think Hillary Clinton is? And I'm not saying she is or isn't. I'm simply saying you're putting your faith into this white female who is a white female white supremacist. And that's my fear, is that they see it not as the system of white supremacy, but they see him as just a racist white male candidate who just happened to win the election. But had Hillary won the election, everything would have been fine. So, no, I don't think, is it going to wake people up? I don't know, because they still are not understanding that it's a system. They're still putting their faith in white people, good white people versus bad white people. So I think that level of confusion, they're still not understanding enough to make a difference. So, no, I think will some people wake up? I don't know, because it seems like we've had a lot of motivation to wake up. The last 8 years have not been good. They have not been good at all. And that should have caused us to wake up to some degree about the fallacy of people being put in positions of power who wind up with no real power. That should have woke us up. And I found that it didn't for many people. Some people, sure, but I think it's a very small percentage of people that will take this Donald Trump situation and actually make some sense of it being a system. They're focusing on Donald Trump and giving Hillary a pass. So that, to me, is not understanding the system.
Her concession speech?
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Oh.
Because by the time I got home, it was, the election, I leave real early, and I get back here about, close to 6 o'clock. So I hadn't had a chance to, listen to any television or anything like that. Or go online and listen to it. So I'm going to listen to it tonight, but I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. Did you hear it?
I saw it. I saw it live, actually. It was a hoot. I had for folks who have tuned into our book club, the concept of Schadenfreude, where you derive joy from seeing other people suffer. And I will even step back from all this. I said months ago, number one, that Donald Trump was going to win. Number two, I said months ago that these decisions have been made a long time ago, and we're just seeing the narrative for how they will explain how all of this happened. But who was going to win this election was not decided yesterday. I said that months ago as well. Now, I watched her concession speech. I thought it was a riot, just seeing everything that played out and having to go out, and I lost to that nigra. And now I lost. It was hilarious. I just laughed, and I literally
made popcorn and laughed and laughed and laughed. It was hilarious. I almost had to stop myself from chanting, "Lock her up, lock her up." I was like, "Wait a minute, wait a minute." Okay, like let's we still are on the global plantation of white supremacy, and we got lots of problems. So, and this all could be staged. So this could just be part of, you know, what was supposed to happen. So. Moving forward. But yeah, I did. It is worth, a, you know, 5 seconds of chuckles if you have a little free time to check out what happened.
Yeah.
The caller in the caller 2812. Did you have a question for Pam?
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hey. Greetings to everybody. Hey, Pam. Hope you're doing well. One of the points that you made a little bit earlier in reference to the entertainment portion, I was thinking the same thing what I was watching just over the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. It seemed though as almost as if non-white people were like a sideshow to the whole election process, as if Hillary saying, "Hey, well, this is what I'm going to do to try to help the Negroes," and Trump was like, "No, this is what we're going to do to try to mistreat them." And I didn't see anywhere, and this is just my opinion, to where they didn't take black people seriously at all during this whole process. And I agree with you about that. If you're going to say that you're really trying to win an election, and this is nothing against Jay and Beyonce, they are victims, but those are not the people you bring out to try to take something seriously. Could you elaborate a little bit on that, or maybe black people being a sideshow? And then I have one other question.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. I think it was, for me personally, it was insulting to my intelligence. You know, whatever that level of intelligence might be, to think that, you know, and I agree with you. It's almost like, and I didn't watch all the coverage. I didn't watch everything. I watched the debates and this and that. So, but it seemed to me that black people were the sideshow. I looked and said, well, I don't see Hispanics being made spectacles of and all this attention on Hispanics. I didn't see all this attention on Asians. I didn't see all this attention on anybody. It just seemed like we were constantly being put on center stage. And that bothered me tremendously because it made me feel we were being used to achieve some goal, particularly not a goal with us, because they don't really care what we think. Our votes do not determine an election, you know, so they don't really care what we think. We are being used to manipulate white people, to move white people in a certain direction. And in the meantime, it's like you're using somebody who doesn't even know they're being used. So that's just so damaging to me. But, yeah, I totally agree. I felt like it was a sideshow where black people were concerned, that we weren't taken seriously, and we never have been taken seriously. We've just been used. And I've watched this, and I'm going to make this real quick. I watched that with the when Chicago tried to get the Summer Olympics of 2016, and Mayor Daley, who is a really horrific white supremacist, Mayor of Chicago, he trotted out Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, and Oprah, and he tried to get Michael Jordan, but he refused to go. To go out him to the Olympics to put on a little, you know, to just be there to persuade the Olympic Committee to give it to Chicago. And I remember thinking, what kind of madness is this? First of all, the Olympics is a multi-ethnic type of event. Why did he just bring black people? And so I just always found that just strange that black people seem to be center stage of all the wrongdoings and corruptions of white politicians and white people in power. We're just put right there. If you watch a press conference by any white politician, I want you to check this out. There'll always be a black person standing either to the left or the right. And so I do believe that they use us to present a certain... they use us. That's all I'll say. They just use us, and they used us for this election as well.
Guys, can I ask one more question, sir?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay. Appreciate it. The second question is, Sam, in reference to Thomas in New York had earlier mentioned about the protests tonight that are going on, which I also find really interesting. I'm associated with somebody on one of my Facebook pages that I've known from elementary school, just associated with them, and she is part of, like, this transgender movement, and they are going out there in reference to the LGBTQ and all that stuff. And I just read some of the comments there on her page, and she said, hey, we're going to go out there and protest. We need to battle some of this discrimination. And she said, I have a suggestion. And she said, the first thing we're going to do is make a donation to Planned Parenthood. And I said, well, what does that have to do with Donald Trump? And I just wanted to get your opinion. It just seems like that maybe some of these people classified as white were not necessarily, some of them that are saying that they are anti-racist are not necessarily mad that Donald Trump won because he was racist. It's that some of their own agendas, as you just stated in reference to racial showcasing, are not going to be met, maybe LGBT issues and stuff like that. Would you mind speaking to that a little bit?
Let me ask you a question. The lady that you refer to that has a Facebook page, she's a black female, right?
No, she's a white female. She's not a black female. She's a white female, and her first thing to, and I'm sorry if I wasn't clear, her first step in protesting against Trump was we should all make a donation to Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I'm glad you told me she was white. And this is the danger in not understanding the system. Black people get pulled in to be used by all these different white agendas. And none of these agendas serve any purpose whatsoever for us. You could name, 50 agendas, and you're not going to find one that really benefits us. Because it's really not about eliminating the system white supremacy. It's about eliminating whatever problems they have for a particular group that they belong in. But it's never about eliminating. I have never seen any group of white people, regardless of what their political affiliation is, regardless of what their religion is, who are interested in dismantling the system of white supremacy. I have never, ever seen or met a white person interested in dismantling the system. So, and that's the problem with us not understanding the system. And believe me, there's things that I don't understand either. Like, for example, I didn't guess that Donald Trump was going to win. And there's a lot of things that I drank a little bit of the Kool-Aid, you know, for this election. So I'm still working on myself, seriously, because I'll tell you this, I'm going to be honest with you. Part of the thing that appealed to me about Donald Trump, and I hope I don't get a whole bunch of emails, was he was putting down mainstream media. He was putting down mainstream politics, and that really appealed to me. However, I didn't think that Donald Trump was going to be good for me or good for black people. So I didn't buy into the Kool-Aid to that degree that I thought, oh, yeah, you know, Donald Trump is he's not a politician, that he's going to be a good no. But I just find that when black people get involved in the agendas pushed by white people, it's always a waste of time. It's never, ever been productive for us, not one time. And that's why I think it's a mistake to mourn Hillary's loss, because it was not going to do anything for us. It was not going to do anything for any of us. And so I think it is a waste of time to bemoan the fact that this Democrat didn't win. You know, I think it's time to just say, you know what, this vote is not, regardless of whether it's Trump or Hillary or Bugs Bunny, this vote is not going to eliminate this. Voting in these elections staged by the white supremacy system are not going to eliminate white supremacy to any degree. So it's time to look for other solutions. And unfortunately, I think that, and I had a lot of people get mad at me because I said, well, you know, people said, well, you know, you sound like you're trying to suppress the vote. Why did they say that? Because I didn't support Hillary. So because I don't support Hillary, I'm trying to suppress black people from voting. And so I just found that that was a strange logic, but not a surprising logic. So a lot of people got mad. I had people that unsubscribed from my blogs because I criticized Hillary Clinton. And I found it interesting that you're coming to a white supremacy blog or a blog about white supremacy or eliminating white supremacy, and you get mad at me because I don't support this white female. And that shows you the level of confusion that's out here. But again, I think black people getting mixed up in all these agendas is a huge mistake. Our biggest problem is racism, white supremacy, not transgenderism, not gender equality, none of that. Our biggest problem is racism, white supremacy. That requires 99.99% of our political effort.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Before we get to Roz, one thing I did want to say about Hillary Clinton's concession speech, I told you before, the numbers approximately 53% of the white women who voted supported Donald Trump. The numbers that I've seen, it's been upwards of 80% of the black people that voted for Hillary Clinton. When Hillary Clinton gave her concession speech, she thanked women, glass ceiling this, women were great, just keep dreaming. We're going to do it. There was nothing, not, you know.
Wow.
1 second of, oh, yes, niggers, thanks. Anyway, I mean, nothing for black people. Oh. And I mean, black people came out so hard for her. Woo. All of the mothers and what have you, Sandra Bland's mom and LeBron James and Jay-Z and all these other folks, Kerry Washington, who came up for her. It was nothing. And that same sort of just contempt for black people. The same thing that you were saying, I always think it's dangerous when we do not. When we think that there are certain white people who are not racist, that Donald Trump is the racist and Hillary Clinton was the good white person that we should have been supporting, that is always a very dangerous way to think in a system of white supremacy. Roz, did you have a question for Pam? You should be with us.
Greetings to you, Gus, and greetings to you, Pam. It's great to hear your commentary this evening. I did have a couple of brief observations and a question as well. I'm watching right now, there's quite a few cities with seas of white people that they say are protesting all across the country. Mm-hmm. And I just find that to be very interesting because it's white people who put them in office. And earlier today, they had a discussion about the Electoral College. And how they basically they'll never get rid of it because it's a constitutional amendment, and the process that it would go through, it would never actually pass, so it's going to remain the way it is. But what they said is that Trump won the popular vote. Hillary won the popular vote, meaning that the citizens voted for her, but Trump won the Electoral College, and that's how he won. And then they talked about different presidencies where that was the case, and they were basically saying that essentially it was the more powerful white that put him in office, and the quote-unquote people voted and Hillary won when the people voted. So that's where I think some people are confused in regards to how this did happen. Also, my son had called. He used to go to American University. He said that the university is burning, like there's just burning flags. White people are burning flags all over American University in Washington, D.C., and he had discussed some contact he had with people that he's still in communication with out there. And it was the last thing I wanted to comment on and lead into my question is my wife earlier today, she was driving and she had passed a couple of white people. And I live in Jersey. I call Jersey the Alabama of the North because of how notoriously racist this state is. And she said that she was at the light and this white man was looking at her. And she said the only way she could interpret this look was essentially, you niggas had your 8 years with your nigger in office. He's out of here, and now we're going to go back to business as usual. You know, we got Trump in office, so, you know, take that, was basically the look she got. And I told her, just be very careful because white people are, you know, they're crazy and they're racist, and they, you know, they can, you know, try and hurt you or whatever the case may be in celebration of him getting into office. So I did, you know, mention that to her. But ultimately, what do you think about the potential violence now in regards to what black people will now be facing due to people who function like that particular white person and the other couple of others that she saw today function? Because I think that's something we need to be wary of as well. Thank you, and I'll mute my line.
Okay, very, very interesting. There's so much staging going on. There's so much falseness going on. Could it be that some of these protests are staged to make it appear that these white people are against the racist Donald Trump? So once again, white people are coming forth in these protests organized by who knows who to make it appear that all these white people aren't on the same page. Once again, making black people think, well, it's not all white people are not like this. Some white people know Trump is bad and they're protesting. So once again, it puts us in a deep sleep or in a sense of there are good white people versus good, bad white people, and I can determine which one the good white people are versus the bad white people. So I wouldn't be surprised if these protests were staged by the same people that determine the election. As far as the violence, if black people, as far as I can see, it seems to me during the 8 years, there was a huge revving up of violence and arming up of white people. So is Trump going to make it worse? I have no idea. I think this country is going in a direction regardless of Trump. I think it's been going in a direction for quite a while. And I mean, it's always been a certain way. But I think that as the economy declines, and the one thing that disturbs me is the number of people who rely on mainstream media to understand what's happening with the economy. It's all lies. This economy is so close to the edge, it's not funny. This economy is totally, America's bankrupt. America has a deficit that's impossible to maintain. Layoffs, you know, thousands of layoffs every month. And the economy is already bad, and when the economy gets bad like it is now, you're going to have a resurgence of violence and racism. You know, so I don't think it's going to necessarily happen because of Trump. I think it's going to happen because the system is falling apart, and they're desperately trying to maintain it. And that's probably the reason they want this war to accelerate, you know, and expand the war. But I personally don't feel that Donald Trump is going to cause this huge increase in violence that wouldn't have happened anyway. I'll put it that way. Whatever violence occurs, it was going to happen anyway. As you can see, all the Voltroning that's going on, all these movies, The Purge, that happened before Donald Trump got elected. All these movies showing random violence against people, all of these alien movies, all these things that basically are coded messages about white people having to worry about non-white people. So I don't think it's going to necessarily get any worse than it would have gotten if Donald Trump hadn't gotten in. And as far as white people looking at black people and thinking, yeah, you know, this and that, they're going to get it too, and that's the irony of it. That's the irony of it, is their life is going to get harder too. Not saying that we should care about it, but due to this economic coming collapse, they're in for some rude awakenings too, but it's going to make them more dangerous. So I would say be wary of the economic pressures on white people, not so much the political pressures. Be wary of the economic pressures, because that's when they really flip out. But I did want to say to you, Gus, that that last comment you made, what was that last comment? Oh, my God. That was really significant. Oh, my goodness. What did you just say before the caller asked the question?
About Hillary Clinton's concession speech where
she didn't thank black people. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That is so major. And see, I hadn't had a chance to watch it, but I'm going to watch it tonight before I go to bed. That is so significant in the level of contempt for black people and black voters. That's why I say do not mourn the fact that Hillary lost. You didn't have a friend in Hillary. And just the fact that he pimped us and played us and then ignored us, that should speak volumes to anybody who feels like more people should have come out for Hillary. That should just really eliminate that whole thing of feeling like you let Hillary down. Please.
Oh, Shay, I agree 1,000%. In fact, I'm going to take a side up. We have other callers I want to get to. I'm just including a wealth of perspectives. I was, you know, watching a lot of material. It was a really interesting interview. And for the people that are saying that they hope that, if anything, we can use this for something constructive. Sabrina Johnson, she was a guest on the program earlier this year. She was a student confidant of Dr. Frances Kress Welsing. And she said, if Donald Trump wins, as Dr. Welsing accurately predicted, hopefully victims of racism will grasp how that happened is to be in a system of racism, white supremacy, and then we'll adjust our behavior to going about solving that problem, something way beyond the ballot box. But there was an interview on NPR with a black female writer. She is involved with Empire, interestingly enough, but very interesting interview where I think if we could just get more of the honesty, particularly if you can kind of listen to the end of the exchange, oh my, this is fascinating. This is from NPR earlier today, and they're talking about the election of Donald J. Trump. Take a listen.
And let's listen to one more reaction this morning to yesterday's election results. We have Attica Locke on the line with us. She's a California novelist who often writes about Black America. She's also a writer on the TV series Empire. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So what are you thinking about this morning?
I'm not crushed. I'm awake to what my country is telling me. It is hard for me to not see this through the lens of race. I've always kind of considered racism to be America's original sin. And so the incredible optimism I felt on the other side of Obama is dashed. This is a backlash to that. There is a large segment of the population for whom having a black president was such an assault on their identity that their reaction to it has no reason. It makes no logical sense.
You really see this as a lot of Americans saying, we weren't ready for a black president, did not want a black president. What exactly are you saying?
I think of it through the level of the psyche. I think in the sense that we are still in a patriarchy, in the sense that the president is like a father of the nation or a man that we're meant to look up to. I think there's a large segment of white folks who could not take that. The idea that this person was above them in some way. I think it was dislocating in terms of their sense of identity.
I'm struck because I spoke to many white voters back in 2008, some of whom even talked about being former racists and overcoming that, who were drawn to Barack Obama and reached a comfort level with him. And what changed over 8 years?
Well, first of all, the man's presidency has been poisoned, you know, frankly, by voices from Fox News, by a Congress that would not engage with them, by Donald Trump himself claiming the president was not a citizen. So clearly that starts to rub away at a foundational understanding of who Barack Obama really is and what he has really done for 8 years. I don't think that certain people can quite even see it. If that makes any sense.
Well, let me ask you this. Donald Trump, in his speech early this morning, said that he is going to be a president for all Americans. Are you open-minded? Are you prepared to look at him as your president?
No. God, no. I think he was on some good drugs last night that calmed him down. But the real Donald Trump will show up in a few months. I mean, there's no evidence to suggest that the man is able to focus, engage in a way that isn't out of control, in a way that I wouldn't scold my 10-year-old daughter if she behaved that way.
The Clinton campaign was very worried about African-American turnout.
Yes.
It seems like the campaign really underperformed, especially compared to the turnout that Barack Obama saw. Do you think African-Americans failed to turn out for Hillary Clinton?
God, no. I will daily stop that narrative. More white women showed up for Donald Trump than showed up for Hillary. So I wouldn't say that in any way black folks underperformed. I would say white races overperformed.
And we should be careful here because there are many Trump supporters who I've spoken to over the years who would not consider themselves racist.
You know what, though, David? I'm out with that. There's a part of me that honestly feels like that level of politeness where we're not calling things what they are is how we will never get forward. The fact of the matter is that you have to, at best, be able to tolerate racism in your president.
I'm afraid we're out of time. I wish we could talk much more. The novelist Attica Locke, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I love that segment. I loved it. She was like, the interviewer took offense, Attica Locke, when she said that she was saying the folks voting for Trump were racist. And the interviewer was like, wait a minute. We didn't invite this, you know, nigger wench to come on here and call white folks racist. Now, everybody that voted for Trump, you know, they were not racist and would take offense at such a characterization. It was she doubled down. Bam. Black self-respect. That's what it is. And I am not going to be polite about it and pussyfoot this here thing. And then he was like, oh, it's time to wrap up the interview. Yeah, we got to crank up the music. Got to go. Okay, we're moving forward. Loved that interview. And that's what I was saying. I hope, if anything, if this will provoke, we talked about the problem of RAD before, racism avoidance disorder. Maybe having Donald Trump in the White House will eradicate that ailment. We will have to honestly confront the problem of white supremacy racism. I know that's what Dr. Welsing would want. Caller at 4243. Did you have a question for Pam?
Thank you for taking my phone call, everyone. I just had a quick question. I just wanted to describe the situation first, and because you briefly touched on it earlier. So the situation was how you were speaking about, like, white people still playing the victim with this whole Trump presidency. And I ran into a white person today, and they were talking about how much they would be a victim just because of their choice as far as their lifestyle choice, what have you, and they're actually in an interracial relationship. And I tried to tell the person, like, hey, you know, I understand that you may feel some type of way, but you still basically have camouflage. But, you know, your boyfriend, he doesn't have camouflage. You know, he could be shipped there, you know, like how Donald Trump, he's talking about, you know, I don't know if it was just a dog whistle or not, but talking about shipping people deporting people, what have you. So how would you actually respond to white people who are like that? Like, I didn't know how to, like, disengage. I just kept trying to redirect the focus back onto the person that she was with, because I'm like, you know, you at least have that camouflage. She doesn't. I don't. You know, I'm a black female. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
She was standing there with her black boyfriend or husband or?
No, I just actually know of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. I'm sorry.
Yeah. As far as how to respond to that, I think it's quite frankly, in my experience, a waste of time to try to educate or make white people aware of the contradictions and the hypocrisy of pretending to be a victim, a greater victim or as big a victim as black people. I think white people a lot of times waste a lot of our time and energy engaging us in conversations that they already know the answers to. I personally wouldn't spend any time engaging in that person about that topic. First of all, she knows more about what her boyfriend goes through probably than anybody. And for her to portray herself as a victim, she's just wasting your time. I don't really find it constructive to engage or to try. And a lot of times I've done the same thing. You call yourself trying to educate white people about what it's like to be black or this and that. And it's generally just a waste of time because they already know what being white means. And a lot of times they'll jerk and pull your chain to try to get you engaged in a meaningless and time-wasting conversation. When in reality, even if you call yourself making a point, then you're not going to change their mind about anything. So I say disengage as soon as possible.
All right, thank you. And I just wanted to say I definitely appreciate your earlier comments about as far as people not waking up. I did have that same situation with some of my family members. And thank
mm-hmm.
you, and I'll mute myself.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Line one. Caller who dialed in from a blocked number. Did you have a question for Pam?
Well, greetings to you, Gus, and greetings to Pam. Long time no call in.
Yeah. How are you?
I am doing. This is 404/Sarah.
Oh,
Gus.
I know who it is. I recognize her voice anywhere.
Gus, where's your manners? How come I don't get a greeting?
Lord Jesus, it's been a month of Sundays. I cannot believe it. Thank heavens. We are so glad that you have arrived. I would not have been complete without your presence. Bless you.
And he means it, too. He means it. Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay, I can see it's all syrupy and drippy over here now. So, okay. Pam, it is great, and I got a call. I've been working two jobs, so I very seldom ever get to hear the live show, but I'm
mm-hmm.
catching up on the podcast. And getting caught up because I have so much workplace racism, Gus, and I'm going to have to try and call in on Thursdays, but usually I'm working Thursday night on my second job, so I very seldom ever get to call in on that show. But this situation with the election, Pam, I want to quickly touch on that, and I'm glad Gus mentioned with Hillary Clinton and her ungracious behavior in all of these black people that she surrounded herself with, and she did not even give them a mention in her concession speech. What piqued my attention also when Gus mentioned that was she did not even concede until this morning. She waited. She held out because she was hoping, against hope, that the results or whatever it is, it might come out in her favor. Because that's the same thing she did with when President Obama was running on her at the convention. Because remember, she waited until the very last moment before she finally gave up her delegates to him in order for him to get the nomination. And she did the same thing last night, waited out until this morning before she finally went ahead and made that concession speech to when she, I guess she figured out they must have called her and told her, hey, you know what, you're not getting in there, so you better get on the phone and act gracious because this is not for you this time. But what I wanted to talk on, Pam, I want you to mention for also is I'm hearing a lot of people, once again, the blame game of blaming black people. Once again, we did not come out and vote,
mm-hmm.
and it's all our fault that she got into the White House, that she didn't get into the White House, and especially
mm-hmm.
black women. They're blaming black women because they're saying if more black women would have come out in droves and voted for the Democratic
mm-hmm.
ticket, Hillary Clinton would have gotten in there. And like I said,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to put hands on people, but if anyone was an earshot of me, you might see me doing the perp walk. If you see a black female in Dallas, you know, getting arrested, but you might know it's me because somebody said something stupid like that. Because it does not make any sense whatsoever with our numbers to say that we are to be blamed for this woman. And when you look at the exit polls, you see white women overwhelmingly and white men overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump. So why couldn't the same white women vote for Hillary Clinton if they wanted to have a first white woman to represent them in this part of the hemisphere for this major so-called democracy? That's the thing that I wanted to touch on. But you know what? As usual, we take this and we take these insults and get these blame upon ourselves, and we take it on and we accept it as fact that it's our fault that anything that goes wrong with a Democratic ticket it's always a black people's fault. So if y'all could address that for me, I would greatly appreciate it. But I, like Gus, I knew that she was not going to get it. I already knew that Hillary Clinton was not going to be the next president, because when you look at the downturn in the economy, there's never been a back-to-back Democratic presidency in the White House since FDR. And that was under good circumstances. So when you go through all of the electoral history of this country, you would see that it's for Republicans, when there's a down session, they always put another Republican back in office. They would put back-to-back Republicans, but they would never put a back-to-back Democrat since FDR. And that's about, what, over 70 years ago when he was in office, and it has never been the case since. And I knew she was not getting in there. It was going to be a Republican. So if you can touch on that, I'll mute my line, and I'll enjoy the show.
Okay. Yeah, it's amazing to me that you guys knew, because I really thought she was going to get it. But as far as blaming black people get blamed for everything, global warming, fracking, you know, whatever it is, we're going to get blamed for it. I just find it amazing that now, okay, taking it strictly from a so-called political perspective, why is it not the Democrats' fault for giving people a reason to vote for them? You know, it's amazing that it could be black people's fault, blah, 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 you know, this and that. But what did the Democrats do, if we're going to talk about it in terms of this fake political party, because I don't believe there are two political parties. I think it's all just a big farce. Well, let's assume that people want to talk about Democrats versus Republicans. Why didn't the Democrats give people a reason to vote for them? Well, I haven't heard one person who was a Hillary supporter say that it was the Democrats' fault for not giving people a reason to come out and vote for them. The people had no reason to come out and vote for any of them. So black people didn't. So I would say, you know, does somebody come in that way? You know, it's so insignificant. It's definitely not worth doing the perp walk. You know, it's just irrational. It's manipulative. Nobody's going to make me feel guilty because Hillary didn't win. And nobody's going to make me accept the fact that black people are somehow to blame for any of this. We don't control anything. And our votes do not determine a presidential election. I have to say it again and again. Our votes do not determine a presidential election. I believe the elections are already staged. I believe the elections are already predetermined. I believe the candidates who win are already predetermined. So I wouldn't even waste my time. You know, if somebody wants to blame you, I would just say, well, you know, that's fine. You can blame me if you want to, and you can blame me for anything else you want to, but I'm gone. You know, conversation over. That would be my response.
Appreciate that. Oh, yes. Before I get our next caller, I agree with what Pam said. Kind of the same thing that we said to the previous caller about just kind of recognize if a white person made that sort of comment that 404 mentioned, where black people are being blamed or black females specifically for not coming out to support Hillary Clinton. I mean, you could just point at the evidence. I don't know how much time I would invest arguing with someone, because I mean, the evidence, black people did overwhelmingly vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, they can fuss and say that there weren't as many voters, but again, that's the same thing I've said before. We're in a system of racism, white supremacy, where whites historically, and even right now, 2016, have not made it easy for black people to vote. That is well documented. And in the system of white supremacy, it's not like black people are making decisions about this anyway. So I don't know how much time I would invest in trying to dispute or argue. If there was going to be any argument about someone not coming out to support, it would be white women. But I don't even know how much time I would invest in arguing about that. You know, that might just be one of those that is duly noted. That might be all I have to say, or go back to my codified response of and just continuing about my work. The caller at Let's see. Call her at 1536. 1536. Did you have a question for Pam?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Gus. Hello to Pam. This is a real treat. Pam, I have your book, Black Love is a Revolutionary Act. Thank you very much for that. It's really very near to my heart. this is V from Central New York, and first and foremost, Gus, hands down to you. You and Dr. Welsing absolutely predicted this a year ago, and you actually had me believing it. And then a older man who I work with, a self-described mixed race man, who is half white and half black, as he says, convinced me that pretty much the table was set for Ms. Clinton, and kind of got my eyes off of the ball. But in retrospect, absolutely, it was pretty evident, I think, for quite some time that Trump was going to be the winner. This morning, I was at a local watering spot drinking my coffee, and a young lady, probably, if she's 25, I'd be surprised, came waltzing in, floating, and I heard her say, "Can you believe it? Trump won." And that pretty much made my morning. That told me what the deal was and what time it really is. Pam, I have one question for you, actually. Did you hear Donald Trump's speech, his I don't know, acceptance speech or what have you?
No, I haven't had a chance to listen to anything, but I'm going to do that tonight.
Okay, He actually mentioned at the beginning of his speech, which you'll definitely hear tonight, that he was going to, or the country was going to rebuild the inner cities, which I think is code for gentrification, basically. And then he ended it by thanking law enforcement, who is unappreciated. Of course, he was in New York City, and he at one point brings up Rudolph Giuliani to thank him, and it's widely assumed that Giuliani is going to take a position in his cabinet. What do you, just from that, I guess, what do you think he's actually projecting to black people already just by those statements? And I'll mute my line. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I know that my knee-jerk response would be law and order via, you know, New York-style law and order. You know, it's so hard to know what the wild card is about, other than racism, white supremacy, how it's going to manifest itself. I would be in error to pretend that I knew how it's going to manifest itself. But quite frankly, I believe that regardless of who got in, with the economic, serious and rapid economic decline, and see, it's happening behind the scenes, how rapid this economic decline is taking place. I believe that it's going to happen whether he's in or not. I think that Donald Trump could be the face of it, but the intent is the same, regardless of the face. There were a lot of executive orders that Obama signed that had to do with martial law. They had to do with incarceration. They had to do with a lot of unconstitutional provisions. Of course, he signed them. He didn't create them. He's just in there, you know, doing what all these today's presidents do, and that is they take orders from somebody else. But I think black people are making an error in trying to subscribe the good white versus the bad white outcome. I think it's a huge mistake. I think we have to assume that we're at war. And we're at war, whether it's Donald Trump in office or whether it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or Bugs Bunny in office. The war is being waged against us. The war is intensifying. The war is taking on many faces, sexual faces, lots of confusion, lots of anti-blackness. So I would say to people, don't focus on Donald Trump. Focus on what we need to do to have a strategy. If Donald Trump never got in, we would still need a strategy. Donald Trump never got in, we would still be dealing with racism, white supremacy. So I think it's a mistake for black people to focus on the face of white supremacy instead of the system of white supremacy. So I don't know exactly how it's going to manifest itself with Donald Trump, but I believe whatever is going to take place, it would take place with or without him.
Appreciate that. Caller at 1536. The caller at, I think this might be our caller in Alabama. Did you have a question?
Yes, thank you. I'll start by saying I heard y'all talking about how black people are being showcased, you know, for the Olympics, et cetera, et cetera. I noticed the same thing with Countercurrent News. They made an article talking about how Native Americans are killed more than African Americans are, and they started going in on that. I think they used, they showcase us to try to not only make anger at white people more angry at us, I think they would like other non-white ethnic groups to be more angry with us by focusing all the attention on us and, you know, not talking about their genocide. And I move to my question. My question is, do you think that, I know we cannot end black genocide through voting. We can't vote our way out of genocide. It's not going to happen. But I have noticed how it is not the same type of racism that my mother, you know, grew up under, and Jim Crow and stuff like that. And the reason that it's not the same type of environment that, you know, they grew up under is because of certain laws that were passed, you know, that were meant to protect African-Americans, but, you know, they diverted from, you know, protecting African-Americans, now protect gays, white women, you know, a handicapped, racist white man, you know, whatever the case may be. But my question is, do you all think that if it might even be in a group like this exists, that I just don't know about it. I'm just wondering if it was a group like the black version of the African-American version of APAC, you know, the Jewish group that watch out for Jewish civil rights, you know, like that. Do you think if it was a group like that it could help some? It might be other groups like that, because, you know, you got the NAACP and, you know, the SCLC and other organizations, but I'm just saying more of a black nationalist type of, you know, super group like that that could do things. Do you all think that would help ease our existence under the system of white supremacy songs? And I'll mute my line. And I also like to say, I'm glad to hear from Pam. When I first found out about the context of white supremacy, Pam was bidding fire on that show as well, you know, and I just keep my line there and I continue to listen and learn. Thank you.
Okay. If I understand your question correctly, do I think an organization, a black nationalist organization, would help some? I personally think that unless, regardless of what the organization is or calls itself, if it's not steeped in the understanding of the system of white supremacy, is doomed to fail. I find that as far as black organizations that accept funding from white people, doomed to fail. NAACP, Urban League, they're all controlled by non-black people. So I think people who understand the system of white supremacy understand that they can't put white people in positions of power within that organization or within that movement. I think we don't understand strategy. We don't understand the war that's being waged against us and all the different faces it makes, like faces it wears. Like you mentioned, the kind of racism that your parents went through. In many respects, it was more honest racism. It was less confusing. It was devastating. And I'm not saying I wish we could return to it. But the one thing that I believe that black people back then understood, they understood that there was a problem. They understood that they were in, they all had the same problem. They understood that they were in whatever they were in together. And while they might not have had the most constructive response, they understood that all they had was each other. We married each other. We had businesses with, you know, that we supported. And I think today's racism is much, much more dangerous because the psychological effects of all the deception have devastated us. We are at a state, in my opinion, right now where anti-blackness is so rampant, you begin to wonder if there's any hope. Because black people are, we are hooked on this media, on this television, on these movies. And I'm telling you, I have not seen a movie or TV show that does not promote white supremacy. Even some of the so-called black ones, like Empire, for example, they all promote black degradation, anti-blackness, and white supremacy, and in many cases, homosexuality. So black people are overdosing on this entertainment. And so I think our mental state of confusion is so intense and so severe that I don't believe an organization will help until we start to educate ourselves, and I mean really, really understand the system of white supremacy and operate off that premise. If we don't do that, everything that we attempt to do is going to fail. That's just my opinion.
I'll like to say, it's not that I'm saying that a black nationalist, because I think a lot of those groups that you named, they're not really considered black nationalists. You know, a lot of those groups are considered immigrationist groups. And the thing I'm saying is that it needs to be a group, whatever, if it's black nationalism, if it's counter-racist or whatever, but it needs to be some type of group that unapologetically advocates for laws being passed specifically protecting African Americans, you know what I'm saying, under the system of racism. I'm not saying that white people are going to be in favor for it, but it just, I see a need for it. I really see a need for it.
Are you just clarifying what you said? Because I'm just trying to make sure we're moving through expeditiously, so... Did she answer your question?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm clarifying what I was saying. That's all.
Okay. So there should be a group that is advocating explicitly for black people. Got that part? And she answered your question?
Not saying that they advocate for black people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they are advocating specific laws that protect our lives under government-sanctioned genocide. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I just add to that quickly. I don't believe that any black group is going to be able to pass any laws. I don't believe within a system of white supremacy, black people are going to be allowed to have that kind of power. That's why I say until we understand the system of white supremacy, a lot of those questions will be answered already. We understand that the system of white supremacy is not going to allow us to alter the laws. They've got laws on the books, and the laws don't protect us. So I don't believe, frankly, and it sounds defeatist, but I do not believe that we can work within the system trying to get the system to adapt to us as human beings when the system is founded on us not being human beings. So I don't believe we can work within this system in terms of laws because there are laws on the books already, and they're not enforced. They're not acknowledged. And again, we have to understand the system of white supremacy. Yeah, well... I'm just saying, until we understand the system of white supremacy, a lot of the questions we have, we'll keep asking them until we understand the system.
Right on. Moving forward to our next caller. Appreciate that caller in Alabama. The caller... Man, making me work a little bit on the board. Okay, caller at 7656. 7656. Did you have a question for Pam?
Hello, good evening. Thank you so much for taking my call. I had one question. Somebody asked it, so I won't ask that one. I guess this is a general question. I was talking to my parents about this, and I don't know if this is a good idea, but I was thinking, like, I think we should vote. I think we should vote for two reasons. One, to potentially save a black person from the death penalty in a jury if on the off chance we get selected. And two, just to mess with white people because they don't want us to. But I was thinking, like, all the black, because they always do these exit polls and all that, that maybe we should always, like, vote absentee and stuff and just not really let them know because they don't seem to care anyway. And they're just letting them be surprised when all these extra votes show up for whoever. What do you think about that? Hello?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. Sorry.
I was saying instead of just keep showing, because they kept saying we're not showing up to the polls and this, that, and the other, I just think we still should vote, but just, you know, if you're able to, wherever you live, just do everything absentee. So when they look, oh, we don't see black people, we don't think black people are voting, then they get all these, like, influx of votes, you know, from the early voting or whatever.
Yeah.
That way they don't ask us what we're thinking and stuff like that, and they really can't figure us out because they're always trying to figure us out, and that just kind of makes me upset.
Yeah. I personally think that whatever answers they want, they're going to make them up. I'm not a big believer in polls. I think it's questionable whether or not they can have exit polls and poll. I mean, how many people did they actually poll in an exit poll? Maybe a couple of a hundred thousand, say, for example, out of millions of voters. I've never been exit polled one single time in all the decades I've voted. So I don't think we should spend any energy trying to manipulate what they thought about how many black folks showed up or whether we showed up at all. I think is so insignificant in terms of importance. Me personally, I just think it's insignificant. And whatever answers they want, they're going to make them up anyway. So I would say it's something that you might not want to worry about too much. And as far as voting, that is absolutely, you're right. I would never tell anybody not to vote. People have their different reasons for voting. I've heard some of the reasons. And so, I would never tell anybody, well, you shouldn't vote. I just say, I don't think that strategy is going to work. And I think there's too much evidence to say that we're going to have to do something different, that voting is not going to be the solution to our problems. But those who choose to vote, certainly. I mean, that's your decision. You know, you have the right to make that decision.
And
other people have the right decision not to vote, huh?
No, I wanted to thank Gus because with the rising tide of white supremacy and Dr. Wellesley, I was prepared. I told my family, they were like, shut up. Well, not shut up. They were nicer than that. They were like, stop talking about that. Don't say that. I'm like, I'm trying to tell you. And today both my parents were sad. I said, I tried to tell you. I don't know what part you didn't get. But thank you for telling me. So I was prepared. Yay.
Right on. That's what we want, accurate information so we can be prepared about things that are happening in the world.
And quickly, there is an organization, it's called I Wanted a Million, that the previous call was talking about. They're trying to start something like that. It's called I Am Wanted a Million. I heard it on one of the other shows, Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio. So there is an organization that's trying to do what he said.
Oh, there you go. Caller in Alabama. The person, I guess this is a different person that called in from a blocked number. Did you have a question for Pam? You should be with us.
Greetings. Can I be heard?
Greetings, 909.
Indeed. Greetings, Pam. When I heard that you were going to be on the program, I was thinking you're the perfect guest for after this these elections. So that was just Gus had you come on. I think that was pretty excellent because I think you were the perfect guest actually. So I just wanted to say that. And I want to talk about, I think Gus could co-sign that predictions is one of my themes. I bring it up as often as I can because I gauge my level of confusion by my ability to make predictions, and you know, because if they don't come to fruition, then I know I'm confused. So I was just thinking about I want people to think about their conversations that they had looking back about these upcoming elections, And I can tell you what my conversations were like. It was that Donald Trump was going to win. And I was confused. But when Dr. Welzing made her prediction, I said, when all else fails, go to, trust Dr. Welzing because, you know, she's pretty accurate. So my thing is that people that know who Dr. Welzing is, they say that they were confused about who was going to win. I can understand that, but then you have people that voted for Hillary Clinton, and it's like and you know who Dr. Welzing is. You know you heard. You know you got through the grapevine that she said it was going to be Trump. So now you're on the books for voting for the wrong for someone who lost. And you have a 70-year pattern that 404 brought up. So you went against the pattern, the 70-year pattern. You went against Dr. Welzing. And did you like? Yeah, I got all that wrong, but I want to talk to you. I got something else to talk to you about. It's like, no, you need to stop and reevaluate your life. In my opinion, like, okay, to me, on a certain level, because you know these people that. These conversations that I was hearing, I was always saying Donald Trump, and people were getting mad at me and stuff like that. I built on my case as it went on, but it's like when all else fails, go with Dr. Welzing because she's pretty accurate with her predictions. She is known to break things down, and we're supposed to know that. So I think you know what I'm saying. So my question is, that's like a code for me. Do you think that it would be wise for us to codify a stance like that? Like, I'm not going to go against, a family, you're going to go against Dr. Welzing, let alone the 70-year position and this and that. I mean, you're going to make that type of mistake, and then, you know, we can change the subject and talk about something else. It's like my family members are getting it right now because I'm one of them. I told you so, people, because it's like I'm not giving you no type of breaks. Like you didn't know, and that's you were confused about that. So a lot of your actions were, you know, based on, you're making moves. I was making moves like Donald Trump is going to be president for months. I'm thinking that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just, what do you think about maybe codifying, codifying something like not to go against somebody extremely intelligent, just on the talking there, on the action, if you're confused, and then you end up, like I said, like making a, like actually voting for the loser, something like that. that seems pretty harsh. Like you have to go back to the drawing board. So what do you think? I think it would be more beneficial for at least to have something like how I have is, you know, if all else fails, I was confused, but I'm gonna go with Dr. Wolf. You know, and and you know, I made some petty cash on it, you know, with bets, because I like to have people put money where their mouth is. So I'm sorry. Predictions and codified on that piece right there. Sorry about that, Gus.
Gus, do you want to tackle that one first?
I can. Let's see. The predictions aspect, I certainly agree. I think that's really important, just, you know, as a part of, as I said again, being a counter-racist scientist, where you make your analysis about what you think is going to happen, and why you think it's going to happen, and then, you know, even to the best of your ability, if you can kind of pre-organize things on the basis of what you think is going to happen, that certainly puts you in the best position. And that's why I think it should not be minimized. I see a lot of whites, very young white people, older white people, where they get on television and they will brag and boast if they have a system, if they, you know, accurately predict the presidential election, they will have them on television and, oh, tell us about your system. How did you know this is going to happen? With Dr. Francis Cress Welzing, this, in my opinion, it cannot be understated. For her to make that prediction so boldly, so confidently, based on her understanding of white supremacy, and again, this was before the primaries had even started when she was saying this. No primary, this was back when people just thought Donald Trump was a total joke, a clown, a buffoon. He shouldn't even be on the ballot for the primaries. He's not even going to win the primary. He's not even going to win a primary, much less the Republican nominee, much less the White House. And she was predicting that. I think it's huge. It should be some, I think it should be one of the, in my opinion, one of the top three things that people mention. I think that should be a significant part of her legacy. When people talk about Dr. Welsing in terms of the application, I think even Dr. Welsing said at the time when she said to her students that that Trump was going to win, I think you heard people snickering. I think it was so beyond the pale, I think, for a lot of people. Like, it was just so difficult to believe for a lot of reasons. And just the talk with the hype with elections, I think whites are very good at that, with the hype and the controversy, particularly when they can, you know, get some controversy and throw a little sexual action in there and just make it real dramatic. They can do a really good job of convincing you about how to think about people, how to think about things. And I think just the job is to just look at logic, and to not be swayed by a lot of rhetoric and people just talk, and to not forget that white people lie. I think that was another crucial aspect as well, that I suspect Dr. Welsing would have spoken to, the fact that white people, they will not tell you publicly, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. They're not going to publicly talk about racism, white supremacy. I think when Dr. Welsing, when her question, when she always asked, what do white people talk about when there are no white people around, it gets to the heart of Donald Trump had a lot of supporters that you would not have. In fact, I suspect some of these very whites that are running around in the street right now saying that they're protesting or running up to hug a black person and cry, and I'm so sad that this happened. Let's go hop in bed and, you know, cleanse ourselves, try to remove. Some of these very whites are the same people who went in there and voted for Donald Trump. I think she would emphasize the deceptive nature of whites about all this. But I think a lot of people, number one, we don't value black intellect. That's why I keep trying to really emphasize the significance of this. And I think that whites, it just can be very difficult to believe things in a system of white supremacy deception. It can be very hard to ascertain truth. So I think that's why a lot of people probably were confused and, you know, didn't know what to make of this election, if that answers the questions. Pam, did you want to respond? Oh, are you still with us, Pam? Are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying that I think certainly you can reduce some of your confusion by taking instruction from those people who have a better understanding, and it gives you some food for thought and maybe clarify or, you know, help you restructure some of your thinking. However, I think it's super critical not to rely on anybody else. I think it's super critical to learn to think for yourself. I'm totally with Neely Fuller when he calls it, he mentions independence, independent. I forget exactly the whole, compensatory. He stresses independence. He tells people, I'm not your leader. I don't want to be your leader. Don't follow me. Follow the logic. So I think that it's important to respect and refer to those with a better understanding. But it's just as important to learn to follow the logic for yourself. Because what happens when they're not there anymore? So I think it's super important not to become dependent on anybody. Don't become dependent on Gus, not Dr. Welsing, not Mr. Fuller, not me. Because believe you me, I am really flawed in terms of my understanding. And I struggle with it all the time because I'm in the face, in an environment where there's a tremendous amount of anti-blackness. And I struggle with it every day. It's like being in a TB ward where you're trying to free yourself of a disease, and the infection is all around you. So nobody is infallible. Nobody's got it right 100% all the time. Do not rely on anyone to totally do the logic for you. You have to learn to do the logic for yourself. So that's what I would just add is Dr. Welsing didn't want us to be crippled. Mr. Fuller doesn't want us to be cripples leaning on them as crutches. They wanted us, they devoted their lives to helping people understand. And now that we've lost Dr. Welsing, it's important that we use that, respect her legacy by saying we're going to continue the work, work on ourselves, learn how to think, learn how to be logical. So I think that's something that needs to be stressed as well.
Amen. I think Dr. Welsing would support that as well. Independent thought is important. The caller at 8944. Did you have commentary or a question? Excuse me. Did you have a question for Pam? Caller, last four digits, 8944. I don't know if you hit your mute button or you're having mic issues. We're not hearing you. 8944, you there? Going to go to the next caller. Moving forward. Last four digits, 4683. 4683, did you have a question for Pam?
Yes. Hey, Gus, how you doing, man? How are everybody doing?
How are you doing, Pam?
Hey, I'm good, man. Hey, I'm going to be real quick, and you got to excuse my speech. You know, I'm from 713 Texas. I'm going to be real fast. Now, Ms. Pam, you said that. Now, black people, we do need somebody to rely on because we have been relying on white people ever since they bought us here or captured us here or whatever the case may be. Now, see, I'm really throwed off because I turned in late and everybody, see, from my understanding, and I want to give a shout-out to that boy 909 and Gus, you too, because, see, through my understanding, everybody has been saying they wanted Trump because Dr. Wilson been claiming Trump was going to get that, you know, rest her soul. And we've been saying, people have been saying, including me, but I don't care who the president is. I don't care nothing about none of that. But, you know, from the understanding what I've been getting, Trump, we're going to be able to see what we're dealing with because we know this is a racist, right? Okay, now, from what I'm hearing, it's kind of sound to me like people is just upset that Trump and got it. So my question to you is, who did you vote for, if you voted, all right? And then my other question, the two parts. In history, has you, this question is because through codification, right, which I am very much in favor of, right, but as far as a way to minimize our mistreatment and abuse. But what I'm saying is to get through to have a new system of living, a new way of life, you know, to come from up under white supremacy, racism, right? When has it ever been any nation or any peoples that's been in control and the power given over? Who did that? Well, where have we seen this in history, and how did it come about? Because I don't see white people giving up anything. Because I'm saying, then we just, well, a lot of okay. Well, I'm gonna just leave it at that. I mean, can you kind of feel where I'm coming from with my question? And I'm gonna mute my line. Hey, thank you, Gus.
Yes, sir. To the first question, I can say I did not vote at all. No one got my vote. And I certainly was not upset about Trump winning. I'm not sure if you'd have to maybe call out the person by name. I don't recall who specifically was upset about Trump winning. I think a few people did say that they were surprised or shared different things, but I don't remember anyone specifically being or saying that they were upset about Trump winning. Pam, did you want to respond to, I guess he had two questions about, I guess, the tone of people sounding upset or what have you about the election, and did you vote, and then whether whites voluntarily giving up the practice of white supremacy?
Yeah, I wasn't really sure about the last question, what the question was, but I would say people being upset as far as, I don't remember anybody that, in this program, you know, during this time, you know, any of the callers, certainly not myself, who were upset about the vote or who won or anything like that. I voted in some local referendums, you know. The last question, I'm not really sure what the last question was.
Okay, okay. Let me do it one more time, girl.
Okay.
My question is, through the history, right, from your understanding,
mm-hmm.
when it's a people that's in power or controlling people, right, or that's running a dynasty or a patriarchy, whatever you want to call it, right, has a people ever just relinquished or just given up the system that's been going on to bring forth something new? I mean, according to your, I don't know. I'm not no historian. I'm just asking, because my thing is,
hang on, you got your question, because I just want to make sure she can answer the question. Did you understand this question this time, Pam?
Yeah, I think so. You say, when have people in power ever given up that power? I think that's the question.
Yes,
I don't think, they don't. You're absolutely right. And I think it's true that power is, you know, revolution, unfortunately, is the only way really to change the system. But no, people don't give up power. That's why it's so important to understand how the system works. So when black people get the illusion of power via a presidential candidate or president, via it a state's attorney or a attorney general, or anybody with a title, to understand that certainly those people don't have power, because why would anyone in power give up power to somebody who has very little of it? So you're absolutely right. And that's why it's important that we understand how white supremacy works, or any system works, that we would know that these people with these titles really are, these titles have no meaning, because people don't give up power. And perhaps when people say, well, how do you get people to give up power? That is the question that we have to answer, and that is they don't give it up voluntarily. How do you change a system is the way I would phrase the question. How will we change or eliminate the system of white supremacy? We certainly aren't going to eliminate it by asking white people to do it. We're not going to eliminate it by participating in their system, be it a vote, be it an elected office. You know, so I think it's important that we understand the system of white supremacy so we can come up with realistic strategies, because voting is not a realistic strategy. Running for office is not a realistic strategy. Having an organization that's funded by white people and with white people as members is not a strategy. Marrying white people is not a strategy. Having sex with white people is not a strategy. We have all these strategies that are founded on our lack of understanding of white supremacy. And so you're absolutely right. People don't voluntarily give up power. They just don't. So it's up to us to figure out how we can get out from under the system. But it won't be via the system. It won't be by cooperating with the system. It won't be by, you know, all the things that we've tried. You know, they failed for a reason, because that's not how power is gained. So that is the million-dollar question, is how does one overthrow or overturn a system of injustice? That's the real question, and that's something that we're going to have to figure out.
Right on. Appreciate that caller now in North Dakota. The caller in, I guess you're on the VOPE line. The caller on the VOPE line, did you have a question for Pam?
Yes, greetings, Pam. Calling from Pennsylvania.
Trump won Pennsylvania.
Yes, he did, and I did not vote. But that was a strategic withdrawal of vote on my part. I wanted to address maybe two or three points in a form of question. Early on, that we talked about Obama and what his purpose may possibly have been. And I got a chance to travel a little bit, you know, globally during the Bush administration. And if it can be recalled, a lot of nations were getting quite impatient with George Bush, with what he did in terms of the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War. And a lot of people were jumping off that ship. So Obama's election allowed the non-white population of the world to sort of stomach what was about to happen a little easier. And it can be recalled that since he came into office, Gaddafi was disposed of, Osama bin Laden was allegedly disposed of, and many others have been disposed of. So that made it easier for the non-white people to accommodate that kind of, murder or destruction. The second point is that working and observing the real America, there is a sense of loss among the white people who overall they're doing well, but many of them are not doing well. And I see them every day. But this is something that they are trying to solve with Trump, but it's not going to happen because many more non-white people are doing greater things, i.e. building cars, advancing in technology. And so these jobs are not going to come back. So then this strategy that they are using is not going
to
work.
It sounds like you just have a lot of statements. Do you have a question?
Sure. I'll wrap it up this way. Do you not see this as somewhat of a strategic opportunity for our people in general, that we perhaps it has been revealed to us what white supremacy, how it actually takes place? Most people don't understand that these people talk to each other and they act and they act in unison. So this isn't this an evidence that we can point to people and say this is how it actually works, in terms of thinking that something is not going to happen when it actually has a very big groundswell? And I'll mute my line.
You mean the election of Donald Trump? You're referring to the election of Donald Trump?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. See, the I would think it could have, with one, except for the fact that for a lot of people it was Donald Trump versus Hillary, which to me says they don't understand. Because if they understood, they would not have seen Hillary as the alternative. They would not be in dismay. They would not be worried or scared simply because Hillary is not in office. So when I see people responding to disappointment and fear because Hillary is not the elected representative, that tells me they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand what happened. You know, if they did, they would know that it doesn't matter who is in office. Not really. The system of white supremacy is evolving. It is still there. It is still devastating us, and it will continue to devastate us until this system is eliminated. And I don't get caught up on the face of it. Yes, Donald Trump may do some things differently than Hillary would do, but at the end of the day, the system is going to work its magic on non-white people worldwide. And right now, under an 8-year Democratic regime, which, of course, I don't believe in a two-party system, but under an 8-year Democratic regime, we've thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of non-white people worldwide have lost their lives. Gaddafi was assassinated. People in Haiti were devastated by what I believe was a man-made earthquake. There are a lot of very wicked things going on that have happened in the last 8 years. So my advice to people is stop focusing on the face of white supremacy. You cannot determine a good white person from a bad white person. You cannot do that. So the whole thing is the system is still in place, whether Donald Trump got elected or not. So we need to focus on the system. And I do believe you made a comment about Obama, and I do believe part of the reason Obama was selected, not elected, selected, was to cast America in a different light, to make people think maybe America has changed. Well, we see clearly it didn't have anything to do with that. America didn't change. That was just another form of deception. So I just think that when people try to make it about Hillary versus Trump, they're still missing the point.
I know. The person that called in, uh, Okay, the person that called in, 4674, did you have a question for Pam? Last four digits, 4674, did you have a question for Pam? Not hearing you. I don't know if you hit your mute button or if you're just called in to listen. The person, also, I guess you're on the vote line. Did you have a question for Pam?
Yes, I do. Good evening to everyone. I'd like to ask, I'd like to present my thoughts really quick and just get your thoughts on my comments. I think with the election of Donald Trump, I think a lot of white people, racists, are going to be emboldened because of the symbolism of him becoming the president, and also because of the way that he, you know, during his rallies and stuff, he kind of incited violence against people. But do you think that race soldiers or just white people in general, racists in general, will be committing more acts of violence against non-white people, particularly black people? And I can see definitely some conflict with non-white people outside of the country, meaning maybe some type of war or conflict will be in the near future with Donald Trump being president. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, Pam, as well as you, Gus, too, if you could. Thank you. And that's all I have.
Did you hear his question, Pam?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll tackle the question. Do I think it's going to be an increase in violence against black people after the election of Donald Trump? It very well could be, but I live in Chicago. Chicago has got something very strange happening. People getting shot, just all kinds of random shootings. People of all ages, non-gang members, gang members. So my belief has been since it started that something else was going on in Chicago, that a lot of the killings in Chicago are not gang-related, that, in fact, they may be quasi-military types of assassinations of black people, random assassinations. There may be white supremacist groups. There may be lone wolf white supremacists roaming the streets and expressways. People are getting shot on the expressways in the middle of the day. So when people, the thing that I try to avoid with this Donald Trump election is what I would call becoming too emotional about it. I think that right now black people are experiencing a tremendous amount of violence. A lot of the violence we don't even know that we're experiencing at the hands of whites because we don't know who's committing the violence. We've seen a whole series of people being lynched before Donald Trump even put his hat in the ring. So we're seeing a lot of increased violence. We're watching movies like The Purge that are advocating violence against non-white, against black people and non-white people. We've watched a whole lot of white people arming up in just the last 8 years with the idea, I suspect, that there's going to be a quote-unquote race war. White people have been talking about a race war ever since Obama got elected. So I think for people to think that Donald Trump is going to usher in something that doesn't already exist, I disagree with that. Will there be more of it? I think it's going to be more of it with the fact that the system is refining itself, or it's reinforcing itself, or it's reestablishing itself. And I think a lot of that has to do with economic pressures on Europe, on white people. And this isn't just in the United States, it's all over the world. And it's not because Donald Trump is ruling the world. There's increased violence against non-white people all over the world, black people in particular, all over the world, in European countries in particular. I have a friend that sends me emails on a regular, well, he's not a friend, actually. He's a person that just started emailing me when I wrote the first book. And he's been sending me emails now, I guess, for about 6 years. And he travels all over the world. He travels to Russia, Europe. And he's been telling me this for the last 6 years about how violent Europeans are toward black people, toward African people, how they have to travel in groups in some countries to be safe. So this isn't some new phenomenon that's being ushered in by Donald Trump. I think people are being led to be emotional about it so we can't be logical about it. Violence against black people is nothing new in the system of white supremacy. That's just my point. And whether Donald Trump's election will usher in more, I think more was going to come regardless of whether Donald Trump ever stepped foot in the White House. I don't think we were going to be safer under Hillary Clinton. Absolutely not. So, as a matter of fact, I suspect the reason that they attached black people to Hillary was to make it appear that white people were going to have to, you know, that Hillary was, I don't know. It's just a very strange situation where Hillary is concerned. But no, I don't think black people should go into a full-blown panic because Donald Trump gets elected. I think we should have been concerned and very much on guard, regardless of whether Donald Trump gets in and before Donald Trump gets in. So that's my opinion. I don't look at Donald Trump as ushering in a new wave of repression. I think we're already pretty repressed right now. If that answered the question.
White supremacy is always dangerous. That's what I would say. It's always dangerous that you certainly have periods where you have intensified or increased terrorism against particular victims, particularly black people. This could be one of those periods where there is intensified violence or abuse of black people. The only thing I would say is if that's the position that you take, make sure that it is something that's applied. I think 909 was talking about that, where you have some ideas about things that could happen if you think things are going to be particularly bad, whatever precautions you think you should take. But I think just as Pam was saying, it's always important to keep in mind that the system of white supremacy is ongoing war against white people, ongoing war against black people. And that would have been the case even if Hillary Clinton had won, even if Gary Johnson had won, that would still be the case. So let's see, did that answer your question, sir, before I move on to the next call? Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. And I just wanted to say that I just believe that the violence is going to be more widespread, and basically instead of so-called riots or whatever in certain isolated metropolitan areas, I think it's going to be more widespread. I don't know. That's just my so-called prediction or whatever, but I just want to know your thoughts. But thanks for answering my question. That's all I have. Thanks.
For sure. I can see the logic in that for sure.
Can I just add one thing?
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with him that it could be more widespread, but I think there's also the economic factor, not just a Trump factor.
I could see that working together, too, with the economic factor. Somebody's got to be blamed, and NIGRA's always good for a blaming and a beating. The caller at 7722, did you have a question for Pam?
Yes. Greetings, Gus and Pam. I'm very happy that we could make some time after this this election to speak. I have three brief comments and one statement, or one question rather. My first was today.
Let's do two comments and one question, unless they're really concise.
Yes, sir. The first thing I just wanted to say, the comment was listening to NPR and to Rush Limbaugh. Most of today, I was in my vehicle listening to those. It's incredible how much information the system of white supremacy can transmit via radio. I'm always shocked at the nuances. Specifically, I think you were the host was responding or speaking about the studies that they've done about people predicting the elections. You know, that type of stuff was on NPR. A lot of good information I feel can be found for victims, and I'm always shocked at what they share. And my second statement, I'm actually was thinking, given Dr. Wilson's prediction, thinking about the Obama effect in 2008. I think it was referenced a few minutes ago. And would there be a Trump effect for black people or non-white people during this time when Trump was elected? I was thinking this months ago. And of course, it seems like black people's attention is probably is already, from what I've heard from my associates and from what I'm seeing online, is already being distracted. It's being taken back to the same foolery. Of course, we're just victims, and the system pushes us from critical thinking. My question is for Pam and the host Gus is, seeing how Nancy Reagan was very instrumental in pushing the Just Say No campaign during the 80s, which we know the foot war, the ground war, the war on drugs was waged. And we saw Nancy Reagan out front as the first lady saying this Just Say No campaign. But we know that her husband was responsible for bringing drugs into non-white, specifically black communities across the nation. What do you think could be the role of Melania Trump during the Trump administration to deceive and help to distract non-white, specifically black communities, while harm is being done to them? I'll take my call offline.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Could you restate that?
Yes. I was asking, seeing how Nancy Reagan played a large role in the Just Say No campaigns of the 80s, and we saw how her husband, the president Ronald Reagan, was instrumental in waging war on non-white people, this quote-unquote drug war. What do you see the Melania's Trump role being in distracting non-white people during the Trump administration, or, you know, based on, I guess, what we know about her, what do you think non-white people may be needing to look out for when it comes to distractions from this first lady?
You know, I can't answer that because I don't know her enough about her well enough to know what role she's going to play. I'm assuming that she's going to continue to dress in a very provocative fashion. So perhaps she'll be a distraction in terms of sexuality of some kind. But other than that, I really don't know anything about her and whether she's going to be highly visible other than an appendage to Donald Trump's arm. You know, I don't know if she's going to be like Michelle Obama was, you know, she had her assignments that she had to fulfill, like dealing with the children and pushing nutrition and things like that, which I clearly saw that she was not interested in that whatsoever and resented it, I thought, in fact, playing that docile white female, I mean, docile female domestic partner to the president. So what role Melania will play, I have no idea. I don't know what she's going to be used to do.
I'm not sure how she'll be used either. That'll be something to investigate and even to compare and contrast the way that Michelle Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, has been treated for almost a decade. I know Pumpkin, she was just writing and talking about the volume of material where whites accuse her of being a transsexual and all these other really degrading comments to see if that sort of thing continues now that it switches back to being whites that occupy the White House. The caller from a blocked number, and I think we will have nabbed all our callers. Caller from a blocked number, did you have a question for Pam?
Yes, doctor. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. I don't know which doctor you're referring to, but okay.
Oh, I thought Pam was a doctor.
No.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I just wanted to express my regret that Dr. Frances Kress-Welsing isn't here to comment on what has happened, because she really predicted that this was going to happen, that this was going to be our next president. And my concern is, what role black people are going to play, people like Omarosa, who clearly supported Donald Trump, was duped by him, stood on the stage with him. And I don't know if anybody was aware, she was the only black person that took the stage with his family and friends. And Donald Trump thanked everyone except for her. And it was so obvious. He thanked Rudy Giuliani. He thanked Chris Christie, a whole host of other people. His family, his brothers, sisters, friends, and she was just standing there with her head down. She looked a little, like, oddball out, and I know she put a very huge effort in getting the vote out for him in particular. In, I believe, she was working with coalitions in North Carolina with the black churches to get him elected, she wasn't simply, you know, a docile role. And I think it just speaks volumes to how, you know, black people think that, you know, this person's going to come and save them, you know, with this crazy talk, and somehow they're going to be helped. He's going to be the savior. And then, I mean, it's so obvious that he doesn't give a darn about black people at all. He clearly ignored the only black person on the stage. I don't know if anybody noticed that or if you know, if there are any comments that or anything you noticed about that.
I haven't had a chance to look at anything yet because mm-hmm. I got on the show pretty much shortly after I got home from work. But I'm going to look at – thank you for bringing that up because that's something that I'm going to try to notice. But, you know, it's so sad because black people are human beings, and certainly we have the same emotions and reactions any human being would have, and that is that if you participate in something, you get some acknowledgement. If you have contributed to something, you get some acknowledgement. And I don't think it's because we're stupid that we expect to get acknowledgement from these white supremacists. I think it's just a matter of being human and that the constant degradation of our humanity just takes its toll. And so we try harder to get acknowledged. We try harder to get validated. And we keep getting degraded and demeaned. And so it becomes a psychological cycle of trying to make something work that wasn't designed to work. Not because we're stupid, because we're human. And it's just a very, very sad thing to watch people being mistreated for no other reason than their skin color. So, but I think it is important at the same time to understand that there is no such thing as a good white supremacist. There is no such animal as a good white supremacist. So we need to stop looking for them and understand that if we're in this system is based on mistreating people who are not white. That is not going to change for the foreseeable future. All we can do is the best that we can do and try to stay out of psychological harm's way and try to function the best we can without creating more harm for other non-white people.
Thank you.
One thing I would say, and this even reminds me of Thomas in New York. I think he was talking about Donna Brazile, who whites decided to take punitive action against her, saying that she leaked questions from one of the earlier debates to favor Hillary Clinton in the debates. She was let go. And the caller at the caller who just dialed in, asking about the black female who was working with Trump's campaign. One thing that I would encourage, and I suspect that Dr. Frances Cress Welsing might concur here, I think it's very important under the system of white supremacy. A lot of times in our frustration, legitimate frustration and anger with the system, we end up focusing on victims. And that is one thing that I would caution against. Victims of white supremacy, it's a reason that the beginning word there is victim. It's very easy when you have people that are being completely dominated, terrorized, and are subject to and dependent on another group of people that are hostile to you. It's very easy through a variety of means, whether it's just sheer stupidity or cowardice or fear or coercion or a combination of all of the above, to get people that you dominate, to get them to do whatever. Come hang out on the stage with me during the election. Come give a speech for my campaign. Come out and sing a song and call black people bitches and niggers. Come and do an installment of Empire for the next five. I mean, whatever you want to do. That's what white supremacy is. That's what domination looks like. I just think it's very important because a lot of times we get frustrated with how other victims respond to racism, white supremacy, and that ends up taking a way disproportionate amount of our time, energy, frustration, and focus on how other black people are responding to racism, white supremacy, as opposed to things that we can be doing and or keeping our focus and frustration on the people that are most to blame. That would be racist men, racist woman, racist child. That's something I think is going to be especially important moving forward. And even that term, I do pay attention to it. The term Mr. Fuller uses is racial showcasing, not showcase black people or any other derivative where somehow it is now a noun referencing a victim of racism as a showcase person or a racial showcase. That consistently, Mr. Fuller said, it is a verb for a reason to make sure that we are keeping in mind that this person is being mistreated and used by racists. That's the most important thing to keep in mind. I just wanted to make sure I got that in also.
You know, could I add something to that, Gus?
For sure.
That is the single most difficult thing that I struggle with. That, and every once in a while, just slipping into that white validation mold, you know, where I just, you know, but that, what you just described is something that I struggle with all the time, and I know that I'm in the grips of trying to manage my anti-blackness, because that's really what I'm talking about, is blaming other black people is just a manifestation of anti-blackness, of being taught to blame each other and focus on each other. I would have to say that for those people who are struggling with it, just keep working on it, you know, don't give up. But it is a real, difficult thing to, I mean, it's a constant, you know, because the Donna, you know, the Donna Brazils or Brazils, whatever her name is, of the world, and the Eric Holders and the entertainers that, you know, that participate in or create movies and television shows and music that degrade black people. It's a very difficult thing sometimes to view them as victims. Even though you know they're victims, it's very difficult to view them as people who deserve empathy. So I guess we need to be reminded. You know I need to be reminded. It's the most difficult thing that I deal with in terms of counter-racism.
Many of us, I think, struggle with that. I've said consistently, white people, they make it very easy to find any justification to not empathize with a black person. They will give you lots and lots of reasons why you should not, you know, humanize or feel that black person. And also, I think it's important to restate, there would not be any Uncle Toms if it was not for white supremacy racism. I think that's important to keep in mind as well. Well, I guess, there were two comments I wanted to get in. People wrote. One of them, we had one of our listeners in the UK, because we had them on and we were talking about, you know, the election for months and getting their global perspective on it. This is a black female. She's in England. She said, look who won. You sure were right. White people in England seem to be a little more afraid of the racist label than white Americans. White people interviewed on BBC Radio today argued that they are shocked and disgusted that Trump has won. I haven't heard one white person say otherwise. I guess I would rather be in your position, though, where a racist tells you they are a racist so I can show my son that he needs to protect himself. That's the same position that I've taken. I'd much rather have that than to have any individual classified as white, where some, a sizable portion of non-white people think that this is a cool, well-meaning white fella or white female who is down for us Negroes, is going to help us get things done. And I know there were a lot of black people who didn't think that about Hillary Clinton, but I also think there were a significant portion of black people, non-white people, who did think that about Hillary Clinton. We had one other person that wrote in. She said, I went to all my Facebook friends who are in tragic arrangements, i.e. engaged in some sort of sexual activity between a white person and a non-white person.
and they are super silent, especially the white female who has been practically exclusively with black males. She ain't said anything. It's like the election didn't even happen on her page.
Wow. What a tragedy for that black person involved with her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, we had two other people. We'll see if we can get in our last two calls before we wrap up in the final 8 minutes. The person that called from a block number, did you have a question for Pam?
No, sir. I was just dialing back in, cuz.
All right, on 909. Causing mischief on the call-in board. And Joan Cartwright, long-time listener, way back when we first came back on the air in 2009. Woof. Did you have a question, ma'am?
Hello. Greetings. It's so good to hear your voice, Gus and Pam. Thank you for letting me know you'd be on today. I want to say that America is a corporation. It is not a nation of sovereign. However, we have the opportunity to be sovereign. So you have to do the research. Obama was in the presidency because they had to have a melanated person when the treaties expired. What my question is to Pam and Gus, in a free enterprise, what is the only solution for people of color?
I'm sorry, you said in a free enterprise system?
Yeah.
You want to tackle that one, Gus?
I'm not really sure what you mean when you say in a free enterprise system. I have concluded that the system that dominates this planet is the system of racism, white supremacy. So the whole premise of the program that I have laid out, position that I have taken, is about what black people, things that black people can, should do, things that black people can and should do, things that black people should not do, with the goal of replacing the system of white supremacy with a system of justice. But that is what I have concluded, and I think I try to lay out on this program things that black people can do that would be constructive towards that end. We've talked about some of those before, making an effort to be frugal in how we spend our coins, not spending money going out to eat as little as possible, not spending money on cable, not having sexual intercourse with whites, being suspicious that any white person could be a racist at minimum. Lots of other sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. We've given out a lot of suggestions. I think there are many things that victims could do that would help towards solving this problem, things we could not do that would help towards solving this problem. I think Pam has also offered a few of those on the program today, some of her other visits and in her books. But I'm not, I don't know what you mean when you say system of free enterprise. I've concluded where the system is a system of white supremacy. That is the system
it
that
is
dominating
it's
this planet.
True. But the one thing that each of us can do, and you don't have to even be 18, is incorporate as a business. Incorporate. It costs less than $80. You get an EIN number, open a business bank account, and be in business. Do us offer service or a product. Pam has books. That's her product. You must be in a business in America in order to be in line for justice. If you are a worker, a laborer, you're a slave. And I don't care if you're black, white, green, with polka dots. You have to be in your own business. In America, it's a free enterprise system.
Okay. So I just want to hop in right there. And that some of this is just, it's just coming down to, you know, is there a system of racism, white supremacy? And if there is, what does that mean? How does that system function if it is true?
Yes.
Hang on a second. If that system is true,
what does that mean? And you're talking about business. I certainly am not opposed to that. I would encourage anyone, if you have ideas for a business, go to it. Workplace racism is going to be on tomorrow. That is our weekly broadcast every Thursday. And one of the things that I say every week, I encourage black people who are self-employed entrepreneurs, as they say, to be one of the first people to dial in to share with us how white supremacy racism is manifest in your business. Because I've stated consistently, I think this is a kind of a mythology to me, really. It's almost a cliche that gets passed around a lot, that this notion that if black people go into business, that that will eradicate racism. I've concluded it will not. It will just change how you experience racism. There's a lot of evidence to support back this up. I don't want to get into all that right now, but I would just conclude, I know personally enough black people that have gone into business. We've had black entrepreneurs on the program. That in and of itself is not going to solve your problem with racism, white supremacy. Not that I'm discouraging anyone from doing it, but just that alone, white supremacy will still be a problem for you and your business. Pam, did you want to respond?
I agree.
Hang on one second. Hang on one second. You. Hang on one second. Pam, did you want to respond to her question?
No, I was confused, you know, because I'm not really familiar with, you know, I've heard of being a sovereign citizen and stuff like that, but I do feel that within the system of white supremacy, there's nothing that trumps being non-white. And there's nothing that trumps being white. And I think that there's no way around that until the system itself is eliminated. That's just my premise.
That's the conclusion I've
taken. And I agree with you.
Hang on one second, ma'am. Okay. Hang on one second, because this is kind of off topic as well. We were talking about Donald Trump and the election, and at least from what I've heard thus far, this is not even really related directly to what we were talking
about.
It is. And
hang on one second.
And also, we're at the end of the program. And it might just be that the way that you're articulating, I am not accurately understanding it. It might be my flaws as a victim of white supremacy. I too am a victim. So it could be my misunderstanding, but it does sound a little bit not exactly like what we've been talking about, and we are at the end of the program. If you want to dial in tomorrow for workplace racism, because that'll be the exclusive focus of what we're talking about tomorrow, feel free to chime in tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. As I stated, I say that every week at the very beginning. It's in the description. It's in every description for every one of our workplace programs, and I say it every week. If you are a black person, if you are an entrepreneur, we need to have you front and center because I certainly, having a business, that's great. That is a strategy that can be employed, and I want to support black businesses, but I think you're setting yourself up for a rude awakening if you're thinking that just a lot of black people getting businesses, that that's going to eliminate racism. It is not. And we have had black entrepreneurs dial in, and they have had some fascinating stories about how white supremacy continues to plague them, even owning their own business, even when the business is doing well, white supremacy still being a problem for them. So dial in tomorrow and let us know if it's constructive information. We need to hear that. We have done our 3 hours, as I said. Pam, anything you would like to share as we wrap things up?
Yeah, I'd like to encourage Joan to call in. I mean, you know, it sounded interesting, you know, as far as, you know, I have heard before that America's a corporation. And so if it's something that she thinks is constructive, I hope she will take you up on that. As far as my last comment, I would say again, you know, there's no such thing as a good white supremacist. Do not lose an ounce of sleep or whether it's Hillary or Donald Trump. You have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant no matter who it is. It wasn't like racism disappeared for 8 years, and now it's coming back. It's never gone away. It's not like racism didn't start to increase and white people started to show signs of going back to the old ways of doing things, like Dr. Wellesley used to say. We've seen that through the 8 years of Barack Obama. We saw that through the arming up and the ramping up of hate groups and all kinds of stuff before Donald Trump threw his hat in the ring. So please, please, please don't get caught up in the face of white supremacy. Start to understand the system of white supremacy and help us, all of us, develop strategies to combat it. But don't waste a whole lot of time focusing on what face it wears, because the system has not changed. Donald Trump is not going to change the system. The system has always been what it's going to be until we dismantle it.
RacismWS.com, the website again, RacismWS.com. Constructive information. You can see the books as well. Always grand to have Pam on the program. And make sure, as I said, Joan Cartwright might have the best information on the program. And just Gus just did not do a good job of processing her information. You can check her out online. JoanCartwright.com. JoanCartwright.com. You can see her on Facebook and you'll see her website as well. She's been a caller numerous times over the years. So certainly make room for other folks' ideas, VGQ, consistently. As I said, we will be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Workplace Racism. And then we will also be here on Friday, Lothrop. That was why we picked Lothrop Stoddard, Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. In the same lecture, the final Cress Welsing Institute lecture, where Dr. Welsing, where she predicted that Donald Trump was going to win the election last night. She also suggested strongly that black people read Lothrop Stoddard's work for a better understanding of white supremacy racism. It was linked directly to her analysis of why Donald Trump was going to win. And that was why I picked this book. She said it repeatedly. She said it one of the last times I talked to her on the phone. She was consistently talking about Lothrop Stoddard's book and why it was so significant, particularly in this time period with the election and Trump's rise to power. That was the book, and I specifically waited until this time because I thought it would be great to read it during election season. Lothrop Stoddard, this coming Friday. This is our third installment, so we haven't even got very far into the book. It's available for free online. You can download an ebook version. Drop me an email if you need any help accessing it, but should be very interesting reading that book and then kind of reflecting on what has taken place this week politically. We'll be here Saturday for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll have more time to review what has taken place and what happens to folks on the job. Certainly tomorrow, for what has gone down on your job. I know a lot of people have emailed about things that have happened over the last 48 hours. Let us know what's going down. If people are making snide remarks, catching you on the elevator, that sort of thing. We will be looking forward to talking to you every day for the next, I think, 3 days we'll be on the air. If you have any questions, problems, can't find something in the archives, let us know. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Email again, UntilJustice@gmail.com. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I hope it was a constructive investment of your Wednesday evening. And again, make sure you should at least talk about that, at least bring that up when people are talking about how stunned they are. Black people, I'm talking about how stunned they are, how surprised they are about the election and making sense of it. There is a third generation psychiatrist, author, general child psychiatrist. She predicted a year ago that Donald Trump was going to win the presidency. Bring that up just as a conversation piece, just to see what people say. I've made a YouTube video of that audio segment where she's talking about her prediction. It's on our Facebook page. I tweeted it out. You can access it. It's just like 3 minutes, not a whole lot of time where people can just hear her kind of lay out why she thinks Donald Trump is going to win. But just put that out there. I think that's something, as I said, in my opinion, that is easily one of the most significant things. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, literally weeks before her transition, predicting Donald Trump was going to be successful last night. We will wrap it there. Visit Pam's site again, racismws.com. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. We want to make sure our behavior always reflects that war is being waged against black people in all areas of people activity worldwide. Us being even under the influence of legal cannabis is not going to help us solve the problem of white supremacy racism. I don't think. I could be in error. With that, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.